Thank you, Gers. I needed that.
You're welcome.
Wipe your hands. You smell like me.
Can't
welcome
be mine.
To the weekly roast and toast. Everybody, we already toasting and roasting. And how y'all doing tonight? Good to see you. I am one of your hosts right here, Mr. Starting relatively on time, Mr. Corey Coleman, over here with
Gers.
Sorry, I just like doing that with you. I'm sorry, you want to do it by yourself? Go ahead.
Gert!
Yes! Oh, over here. I ain't saying, don't look at me like
what
that.
You got
I got nothing, man.
Got?
I got night. Nothing.
I got sorry night.
I got nothing. You look like a bowl of blueberry, man. Blueberry. God damn it, fuck
see
up. Fuck!
That's what you get.
I know. Hey, but good to see you. You are looking too delicious tonight. How you doing? And over here, Mr. Goodwin. How
how's
you doing,
going,
sir?
Man?
Oh, I'm glad to see. It's like meeting a new person over here. You, but last time you came solo. Now you brought your afro with you. Damien, how you doing, man? Good
no,
to see you.
No do-rag this time.
Oh, the 666 up in here. Ah, the sign of the beast. How you doing, man? Good to see you. Michael Sarah with the afro up in here. Good to see you, man. Oh, Juliana. How you doing, girl? Good to see you. I'm going to go to
how you doing?
Yeah. And over there trying to hide, Mr. Gonzalez. How you doing, sir? Oh, there you are, there. And you out there, how y'all doing? Welcome to the show. We got a good show for you this evening. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Since we started on time, I don't think we're going to keep you too late. I'm going to zip through this because I'm back on that shit again.
Oh, Lord, no.
They caught me eating tacos going into a coffee shop.
We see you coming up in the shadows just going down on some tacos. They're like, all right, go for it.
Man, I was hungry. I was at the – it's a blessing in disguise, I guess. I was at the – I was trying to eat at the theater because you asked me why I wasn't at the screener earlier today because I was getting a show together.
Sure.
I can't leave the house on Tuesdays and Wednesdays sometimes and Sundays. I'm working on the show all day. And sometimes I just don't eat. Oh, there he is right there. Look at him. Man, that really does look like you, man. God damn it.
I was glad he said other people have said that to him because I was thinking it the whole time.
Yeah, and we're sitting up there the whole time.
Because before the show, me and him were hanging out, and all I could think was like, Black Michael Cera, Black Michael Cera. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Should I say it? I didn't care. Shit. Transracial Michael Cera.
Rachel Dolezal and Michael Cera had a kid.
There you go. It's the cool thing to do today. And yeah, people, I had my tacos and my coffee. I dipped my tacos in my coffee when I was coming over here.
I'm sure by accident.
But man, we were at the movies tonight, and I waited 10 minutes in line to get some little funky ass hot dog.
Man, those hot dogs are almost $7 now.
Well, you know they're deluxe now. They actually give me.
No, you missed them during, was it Valerian? He's like, what's that on your hot dog? The guy was like, sauerkraut. They got sauerkraut?
I know.
Oh, do they?
See,
they've stepped it up.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. See, they charge you more because they put the sauerkraut on for you this time. They don't make you go over to that side where people been spitting and sneezing all on the condiments.
What is this?
Yeah. Shit, I thought I was putting mustard on my shit. Half the time it's snot and spit. But now they actually have the deluxe hot dogs there. And I waited. And it's in demand because I waited 10 minutes and didn't nobody say nothing. And they know people waiting on them. I got up there and they said, well, hot dogs on demand right now. They actually look at these little funky ass hot dogs and say, that one's taken. That one's taken. That one has somebody's name on it. I'm like, are you fucking serious? And they get to them like, yep. Fresh out of hot dogs. And I just looked at that guy at the counter like, well, that's a fucking waste of 10 minutes for me. I want you to come, you know, tell somebody.
Yeah, because in 4 minutes, you could have driven over to that 7-Eleven and got two for the same
price. You know
oh,
how
wait,
I am.
Oh, you paid $7. You could have got
like four.
Four, yeah.
Well, see, I was trying not to do it because yesterday I was in a rush and I went to Burger King.
That's your move right there.
Yeah, no.
I hope you ain't get a hot dog.
No.
You are the burger prince.
I am the real hamburger. I will smuggle. I will drug mule in a couple of Whoppers because I do some shit that people don't catch me with. I'm not even bullshitting. I will put Whoppers under my armpits and walk in off stage. How you doing? How you doing, sir?
Like onion. I put on deodorant today. I'm sorry.
The chap putting Mr. Sauerkraut up in there.
Where'd you get that Whopper? From my booty hole.
Yeah. It's a booty hole. But yeah, I was going to drive over to Burger King and get a couple of Whoppers. But I was like, yeah, I did that yesterday. I can't do that shit 2 days in a row. You know, I'm trying to be good with that low carb shit. So, you know.
How's but you were getting a hot dog.
Yeah. It ain't. I'm breaking the law. So, you know.
You're going to be an outlaw. Man, yeah. You might as well get a Whopper.
Yeah, I know, man. I didn't have time to do it. So long story short, I went and got some tacos, ate it on the run. Y'all think I'll be – because, see, they think I get food and just be sitting down. Y'all be waiting on me and shit.
Yeah.
Sitting up there with my pinky ass sipping my espresso.
Those are the other times.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with a little gingham napkin on.
Yeah, with a lobster on it and shit, taking a little bunny nipples up my taco and shit. Nah, man. Nah, I'm actually on the run doing this shit so we can do a show for you. And speaking of Mr. Sauerkraut, up in the chat, how you doing, Mr. Sauerkraut, and the rest of the tat-a-tat-tat? How y'all doing? Good to see you. Yeah, you didn't see Mr. Sauerkraut?
No,
there he is, right there. Martin, oh. How could you miss me? My arms all out. Hey.
Who did that?
He said, put me on your sausage right there. I don't know who did it, man. It's a fucking chat. You know how they are. I don't even know how they dig up half this stuff, man.
I've been waiting for this. Send.
Where you get that from? My booty hole? It's a booty hole. I believe some of y'all have sauerkraut on your ass sometimes. But somebody said, get my sauerkraut on. But nah, man, getting this show on right here. Because it's going to be a good show today. You know, it's, oh my God. You know, last week I wasn't here, so I forget. It's something today. What is it?
It's Trailer Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget? Especially when you have good trailers coming out, because everybody loves the Tommy Wiseau.
Uh-oh.
But people even like him better when he's played by your boy.
James.
Frank. Frank.
I've heard good things about this.
About the trailer?
No, about the movie.
About the movie?
Like, yeah. South by Southwest, people came out saying, like, this might be one of the best movies of the year.
Slow down. That's South by Southwest.
Granted.
People, that's true. People, they drunk. They high off the festival.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
That's but say, you know what? Save it, Martin. We talk about the trailer. Because I got some things to say about the trailer. Everybody there losing their mind. Y'all just hungry for that Tommy Wiseau. You know,
I mean, who is it?
I have my opinions. I'm not as in,
you ain't got.
You ain't got shit, man. Don't do that to me today. Me and my girl, my wife.
We got
to an argument today because I came in. I went through a grocery list so we could eat healthy. I made a strategy and a plan, a schedule.
Yeah.
I started saying I'm getting up early the last 3 days so I could actually get stuff done better, and I lie in bed doing it. And I came in and told her, I said, yeah, I'm actually trying to, like, just get my life more active and do things a little bit more professional, if you will. And she looked at me and said, you ain't doing shit. I mean, I'm not lying, man.
Okay, I do it for fun.
She just don't like him.
Like, when I say it, I expect you to laugh and blow me off.
No. I heard that once today. So if I came at you wrong, I already heard it and it pissed me off. Because I said, and I was patient. I said, baby, you don't approach people like that. Because I said, you know, you could have a little more tact, or you could be a little more supportive. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Let me be polite for you. I do not believe you're going to do what you said. I was like, ooh.
What has it been, a week?
It's been a week, right?
Yeah.
And I'm in a marriage now, so I know I got to be a little more tactful myself.
And she knows that too.
Yeah, and I've been sitting up there, and I've been telling her. And the shit just escalated for no reason. You make a list without me? We're married, baby. We do things together. I said, I was on the couch, you on your computer. It just got into my mind to do this while I was sitting there. I'm sorry if that was a spur of the moment thing. That's the problem. We don't do spur of the moment. We're a couple now. I'm like, God. And her brother's there too.
Yes.
Well, welcome to marriage.
You got a wife and a brother.
I'm sorry. Did no one give you the brochure?
Why didn't you give it to me? You've been in this game longer than I have.
If I gave it to you, you wouldn't have read it.
Mm. Yeah. And
I'm too spur of the moment. I can't read this.
You know, the funny thing is, and again, I'm not lying. She'll tell you she did it. I said, let me be cool and not start anything. Let me just ignore her. And it'll just fucking go away.
Man.
And let me tell you what she did. I just kept working. She's like, are you listening to me? I was like, mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? And I just, and she came over and slammed that laptop.
Oh, shit.
I was like, ah! I was like, why you? Because I was going to turn around like, bitch, are you at your fucking mind? But I said, let me just soak in this pain real quick. And I you'd be proud to know I kept my cool about it.
I would be proud, but I don't believe that. I'm sorry, man. I want to believe you, but I don't believe that for a second.
It was funny because my fingers typed out, fuck. out, man.
There's
I tried.
There's no way you kept your cool.
Man, no, I did. I did, bro. I'm trying because we in a marriage now. This has been the hardest. This has been the hardest week for me.
Bro, it's been a week.
It's been a week. It's been hard as fuck. It's been a week and she's already fucking damaging me physically.
So, an abusive relationship.
Yeah, I'm already being abused.
Okay.
I'm already been my fingers halfway broken and shit.
I'll find a shelter for you.
Yeah. You need one?
A battered husband shelter?
No, shit. Just take me to the strip club.
What's the difference?
Yeah. That's the man's battered shelter.
That's what a shelter is. Coincidentally.
Talk to these titties. They're your counselor. Yeah, man.
Feel better now.
Telling you. It's been rough.
And yeah, I ain't
even
sure.
And I ain't even tell you the rest of the shit that happened. But hey, you know what?
Cause oh, come on, you guys.
No, I can't do it. You know what?
Tell us one thing.
I'll tell you what. After I get through telling everybody the rest of the show we have planned.
Do y'all really care about the rest of the show?
Yeah, they do.
It's going to be what it's going to be. Let me tell this story.
I will ask a question of you to see how you, and I shouldn't bring it up because she's going to be mad as fuck.
She ain't watching. Just go for it.
Okay. She probably, because she's hanging out with
you married. She don't
care. She hanging out with her Turkish friends, but. It's just a question.
Okay,
so for the rest of the show, we also have the trailer for Leatherface, who I'm living with right now.
Yikes.
Sherry sliced my hand up.
You hang on a new hook.
And the chat putting up the husband abuse. Who did that? Austin Steve.
She'll come home. She'll be waiting in the dark with a glass of wine. Click. So, you have much to say on your little program, don't
you? Dog's going to be in the corner. Just go away. Run.
But, get out. Get the fuck out.
But the other thing that we have, we're going to talk about George Romero. And George Romero is a huge hero of mine, and I'm a little disappointed in everybody out there. I'll explain why.
That you're expecting, disappointed he didn't come back as a zombie already.
Yeah, man, I did. I was like, man, it's been 48 hours already. Come on.
What the fuck, George?
Where is he? Out there waiting in the zombie patch? He'll be here. He will.
You blockhead.
No, Gert, don't go. Because if he comes, I said it. But also, I'm gonna try not to make it heavy. But we had another police shooting that it came in a different form, and I'm only talking about it because a lot of people are asking us about it, and I'm not really. I don't think we know enough about it to like really come in that judgmental. But we can have some expectations for that.
I saw somebody's status was that recently.
What? Who?
Somebody's Facebook status changed about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, so, I posted about it early on.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well then. We'll get some details from you, sir. I didn't have a chance to read like a lot on it. So we're talking about the shooting in Minnesota.
There's plenty of details that have not come to the surface yet. Curious.
Yes. Yes. And we will discuss that, and we will be very fair about it. And we're going to end the night, of course, with some emails and maybe a call. But I don't want everything to be so negative. So I have a very inspirational video, Animal Heroics. Everybody loves that. When a dog saves something.
Oh.
So yeah, you saw this. It feels good.
I have not seen this.
Oh, it's wonderful, man. It'll make your day. It'll make your day.
This is a trap.
No, it's not. It is not.
Nah, man. It always feels like a trap. It does. I see that twinkle in his eyes. I'm like, all right, I'm being set up.
No, man.
Every, twitching every, and shit. Every Tuesday is like Saw for us.
Y'all want to play a game? I'm riding on tricycles. Hey, Mark. Hey, good one. Y'all want to do a show? Oh, I'm wearing some shorts, and this happened on Sunday.
Are your
Sunday.
Balls trapped?
Man, on Sunday, I sat up here, my nuts just scrunched up, pressed against my
tail. By looser pants.
Man, it is loose, but I don't know what happened. God damn, but I'm trying to avoid this right now. I held it for y'all, man.
Well, you got to wear underwear with them, too.
Nah, don't do that, man. Nah, gotta let my shit breathe.
Oh, God.
Yeah, man, that's right.
It's
Nizzy?
A swamp down there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, want to go swimming?
No.
Want to drain the swamp? Hey, how about you? If y'all want to drain the swamp, then let us know.
Yo, she's like, I can't.
Juliana left.
Juliana. All right, Juliana, don't you tell your mom been talking like this. And
Daddy, he's one connected.
Oh, I know he's one connected. Shit, Dad, don't tell Pop. Don't tell Papa Don.
Oops, texted him already. Sorry.
He needs to go.
Yeah.
Green light Corey.
Hey, you invited my girl to swim in your swamp. Did it. All right. You know what? I'm going to bring you up for that dog rescue because there's a lot I don't know. I just watched the video and I want the details on it. But hey, back to my swamp. If you like to swim in it, then why don't you email us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's K-C-O-O-L-M-A-N-Z. @gmail.com. Email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. And let me see here. Oh, yeah. You do that, press send, and bam! Up in your home talking either on host of the weather, do house calls. We're on an Instagram at Double Toasted fan page. On Facebook, type in Double Toasted. If you like some time with me, you know, you and I do some laps together. K, what did I start to say? K Coolmans. You can reach me there, but Corey.Coleman.5. That's my Facebook right there. If I'm too busy swimming with the folks out there,
while you're hanging out on the Book of Faces, find me Corey Goodwin. You can find me on Twitter or Twitch.tv, TheHighScoreDT, all one word, or on Instagram, DBCooperKG, Mr. Gertz.
You won't find me in the swamp, but you'll find me on Facebook, Patrick Gertz, Twitter, Patrick Gertz @PGertz, and on Instagram @PGertz, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Gertz. I can be found on Twitter and Instagram @Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook.
Oh, look for Martin Thomas and the rest of the gang over here in the world famous Double Toasted Studios. Now with more black Satanism up in here. Damien, what's going on? And you can do so by emailing us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Listen, I'm going to be visiting Austin. You already visited Austin. You're going to move here. Or you already live here. Then tell nobody. That's sneaky. Don't do that. Come see a show. kcoolmans@gmail.com. You give us some details. We'll give you some details. We'll coordinate with each other. And that way we can accommodate you. Hey, that's what I was saying when my shit was scrunched up in me. Glad to have y'all here. What's going on, Damien? How you doing, brother? Yeah, letting that hair out. I love it, man. I love it.
It's hot down here.
Yeah, you going to shave it then?
That.
Are you going to cut it now?
No, I'm getting it braided tomorrow.
You're getting it braided? Yeah.
Paul Mitchell.
Oh, that way did you go into like the hairdresser training?
Cosmetology?
Yeah. All right. Well, you're looking good anyway, man. And let me see. Let me see what we got here.
Why does this thing keep turning up by itself? That's Gertz.
Yeah, are you just over there fucking with me? Just testing. One, two.
Show. Fuck you, Martin. Yeah.
Sabotage. Oh, I like that.
Fuck you, Martin.
Oh, whatever black he had in him, it just went out. Yeah. Fuck you, man.
Shucks. Hey, dude. By golly. I'll give you such a pinch.
I'll give you what's for. Oh, people, it's getting about that time, and tickets are selling more and more. But it's getting a little crowded, so you might want to go ahead and splurge on that $25 ticket for the Double Toasted third year anniversary weekend.
Oh, no, that's a lot of money. What do I get for all
that? Oh, Martin, that ain't a lot of money. You just cheap. But you know something? Let me tell you what you get. But for those of you who ain't cheap and willing to put that money out there, we make it worth your time. And if you go to PartyDT.com, it'll take you to the Eventbrite page where we have all the details up about what's happening for the whole weekend. We got the hours, the days, times, dates, locations, and more. Even have where you can get your discount for the accommodations. You know, we got the hostel native across the street over here giving you a discount. And we got some hotels that are giving you discounts. And as I said, that's going to be $25 for the weekend of August 4th through the 6th. The wee hours of the 6th. I mean, we push the boundaries of it. And we give you the live shows, the meet and greets, the games, the lunches, the brunches. That's right. You know, I love tacos. I always eat them today. Love them so much, I'm just going to throw them out at people. Free taco bar on that Sunday.
What?
Yes, Martin.
All that?
$25 for $25?
That's a bargain.
Baby. And you need to get your ticket now because people are buying more and more. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm just listening. Yeah. Y'all just go for it.
We got a rhythm, man. Don't interrupt it.
That's why I didn't. You stopped
just
it.
Just back the fuck up.
Sorry, sir.
That's all right. Just don't let it happen again. And yeah, people, go to partydt.com and you can find out more information there and get your tickets. And like I said, we got a lot of people who are showing up and we would love you to be a part of that. But it's getting awfully crowded in there. So get your tickets now. And let me see what else we got going on. I think that is it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'll tell you in private.
No, man. We need to hear this. Man, you set it up.
I really am gonna get in trouble if I say
you
this.
You can't keep bringing up things on this show and be like, oh, we'll talk about it later, and then it never comes up again. That the his little secret thing that he had.
It's
with
coming
Juliana.
Up, and it's not really that even that big of a deal, but it is coming up. The thing with him, it's coming up because we're saving it for the right thing, an idea that Juliana had. If you're just tuning in, I have a secret from Martin. I have to tell him, and it might yeah.
Something
Juliana
else
did
jeopardize
this.
Your wedding.
What's that? Yeah. Oh, you might. What I want to talk about, my marriage, yeah, it might jeopardize my marriage because I might be putting too much out there. I mean, some things are between her and I'm having to stop myself because I get on this microphone, I lose myself. And I can see if she's listening, I'm going to get home, or if it's put on Facebook, it's going to be bad. Because she was mad on Sunday, Saturday, she was.
Sunday and Saturday?
What yeah, happened? It was something that happened. She
realized she was married?
Yeah, she came in. No, something happened where we were at a bar and we were playing Jenga or something, I don't know. And so I started talking to some girl who was drunk. I mean, it was really one of those things where like, hey, how you doing? It was innocent. And for some reason, she was just pulling me away. Let's go. And I was like, well, I'm in the middle of a conversation. She's drunk. I'm like, okay. I was like, but why are you just pulling me? How come you just don't say let's go or let me just give a proper goodbye? She doesn't even know what's happening. Go. And I was just like, well, what the fuck you telling her to go? You know, and for some reason, we got home. And she I don't know how it escalated, but she just slammed the refrigerator door and turned around. I didn't even say shit. I just walked in the kitchen. She slammed the fucking refrigerator door and just looked at me and was like, you pull that shit again, I will fucking leave you. I was like, what the fuck happened here?
I'm sorry.
I'm like, what the fuck did I do? You know, that question, like, what happened? You're talking about high voices right now. Yeah. What the fuck did I do? And I really don't want to say shit because I don't want a brother to think I'm talking to his sister all crazy.
Sure, sure.
You know, I don't want him to be in the middle of that.
Right.
So I just, you know, I don't know, man. So if I say what I want to say now, I might be going too far after a couple of incidents.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Don't do it.
You just gave us enough. The beast is satisfied.
Yeah, and she goes.
Move on with your life.
She goes, and I'm confused because she will go to bed and wake up and forget about it like nothing happened. And I think what's going on, I don't know this culture this well, I don't think, because I have a feeling that she believes that arguing, not starting shit, but arguing and working it out is passion. So I think she gets off sometimes on yelling and arguing.
Well, that seems like a thing that happens with other cultures. also with women in general. Really, once the sun comes up, everything from the day before can be erased. All that, like, oh, you did all these good, great things. You have all these points. The next day, that's erased. You start back at zero.
That's what, you know, and I can't win. That's what I thought I was doing. I was trying to do that. I made that list of healthy food because I thought I was trying to earn points. And it was like, yeah, but you did it without me. I'm like, well, fuck. I was going to bring it to you later.
Yeah, you had aspirations.
Yeah.
Trying to be somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Can we just sit down and talk one day? Can you just tell me what other surprises are out there with marriage and what I need to expect?
If you think you're ready for it.
Because I didn't get that, man. Fuck, I ain't ready for the shit that comes up by surprise.
I got nothing going on this weekend. If you want to, like, hang out.
Can you get me a marriage boot camp?
I'll do it.
You know, can you just.
I'll talk you through it.
Yeah. Shit, I thought I could handle shit. Oh, man, I know women. This ain't nothing. I've already juggled a lot. I mean, this is just one. You know, that shouldn't be so hard.
You knew hoes. This is a wife.
Nah, not all of them. Not all of them. Come on now.
No, not all of them. But you that language there, that was your domain. You were Aquaman of that.
And bring that funny book shit in with it, didn't you? I love the way Juliana's like, Juliana, can I just get, you're over there shaking your head. Can I just get some advice from you from a woman's point of view with everything I've been saying? Can you just give her a moment, Gertz?
Gertz is bumped again.
I know. He'll be back. Gertz, like Spider-Man, they say then the Spider-Man. Gertz will be back. Can you tell me from a woman's point of view, what I should be doing? What am I doing wrong? Because I am getting jumped on every other day for some shit.
It's I think it's an easy solution. You just gotta include her with what you're thinking and doing. Like, that's it. You just gotta talk to her. You just gotta be like, hey, I'm thinking about eating healthy. So let's make, like, if you want to do that too, let's make a list. Literally, you're set for that whole week of her happiness. Like, just include her in your day. That's it.
You ain't brought her up here.
You didn't tell me that easy. You pretty much told me what she yelled at me. Except you said it nicer. You women, y'all expect.
You should probably not say things like "you women." You women.
I'm sorry. You people. You expect.
Listen.
You really do have this thing because of what you said. Just put in everything. If it's spontaneous, like I told her, you can't plan the unplanned.
But you're you're not a spontaneous guy anymore. You're a married guy. You have a life now together, not yourself.
Facts. Oh, that's facts right there.
I'm just saying.
What the fuck you doing, man? You're supposed to get off right here. Okay.
Facts. I'm just saying, like, that's just my two cents. Like, yes, obviously have thoughts of your own and be your own person, but you are now in a lifelong companionship. And you gotta talk to her about the stuff you may think that is not important, but
well, I'm glad you were not in the house early today. You would not have helped me at all.
Hey, I'm not to say that, like, sometimes people, not just women, people can get emotional over small things and blow up. But that's all you gotta do, man.
Okay, just as the saying goes, just read her mind.
No.
Because you can't.
Yeah.
And we don't want our minds read. I'm just saying, like, if you have a thought of how you want to live a forward lifestyle, like, in your future, I want to eat healthy more, just include her in that process. Even if it's stupid, spontaneous stuff, like, oh, look, let me make a list right now. If she's around.
You want to be married one day?
Yes, I think. Maybe, yes.
Like, maybe? I mean, yes and no. Do you want your woman? Do you want to be married? Are you that new woman? It's like, I just want to keep fucking around for life.
I'm like a happy in between.
Happy in between.
I'm not forcing marriage on the agenda.
So you don't mind being 45 and single and being like a hot MILF running around getting these young dudes?
I mean, I would like to get married at some point.
At some point. Well, for her, her future husband, I am the ghost of husband's past, and I'm looking at you right now. Or I'm your future. Look at this shit, because what I have going on, you going to get it too with her.
See, but it's not ridiculous what I'm saying. Like, you guys are literally now, by law and by spirit and heart, a couple. You gotta, it's decision making together now.
Okay.
Am I just digging my whole,
she's 21.
Like, yeah, you're just 21. You don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I know.
Yeah,
you,
what are you bringing up here? Like,
because you've been messing with
it. It's almost like the stages and what you're saying. That's one of the stages. Okay, so here's the thing. Everything you did was right. It's just how you're reacting to it. That's the problem.
Okay.
So
I'm not saying you're
you
wrong.
Coming up with that and presenting it to her, that's fine. Yeah, she reacted the way she did. Sure. Don't take it personally. Just let it roll off your back. She'll hear somebody else say it. She'll come to you and tell you how, oh my God, this person just said this and it blew my mind. And you'll want to go like, that's the same shit I said to you. Don't.
Okay.
Just let it ride. Just
okay.
To yourself.
I mean, it's a two-way street. Men do that too.
And then you just go like, you know what, baby? You're right. Let's do this. And that's when you implement the plan you already have.
It's funny when I do try to do that, just keep quiet and say yes, I get a laptop slammed on my fingers. So
you were ignoring her, though. No, he was ignoring her. That's why she slammed. Yeah, baby.
Slam.
You were being passive aggressive.
Okay, I was. Yeah. I was. You're right, man. I need to cool out. I just need to stop. I'm still living in that other life, man.
No.
You know,
isn't this the honeymoon period?
Yeah, well, we didn't go on a honeymoon. So, yeah.
I mean, they were together for 5 years already.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And she had a period on our wedding night, so we couldn't even, like, have wedding sex.
We don't need to know that.
She already said it.
Yeah, I did. I heard it.
It's out there. Yeah.
Like when you're thinking of things that you shouldn't say on the air, that falls in that category.
Okay. I can put it nicely then. I'm not going to frame it like I'm making her. Making her out to be a bad person or wrong in a situation. I tell you one thing, we did have a minor spat over, and she might be right, but what it wasn't even a spat. Later it was, but at the moment it was just like a a discussion, a very serious discussion. And she had asked a guy that we were hanging out with who was in the military, who had been to Afghanistan. She said, so you were in Afghanistan for a long time. Guy been in since he was 18. Yeah. And he's
like 33.
And she asked the guy, she said, so Afghanistan. And he's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, did you kill anybody? And the guy
was supposed to ask that.
And the guy was just like, she didn't say like, she said, do people ask you all the time, have you killed anybody? And I could see the look on his face, and he's like, and I was like, yeah, so maybe you shouldn't ask. And the guy gave an acknowledgement like, yeah. And she's like, okay. And she turned to me and asked me later on, she said, is it wrong to ask that of somebody? And I said, yeah. I said, it's personal for people, and you probably shouldn't ask that. And then she said, well, he's the one that decided to go to Afghanistan. And I was like, and he's the one that joined the army. And I said, baby, I said, you can't judge him. The guy, when he was 18, you don't know what he did, what he'd been through, why he's there. You don't have his life story at all. I'm just saying, but okay. And I was like, you really don't hear me right now. And I put that, you know, that way I pulled that up later. I was like, see, this is what I'm talking about, where I'm wrong sometimes, but you don't budge with me sometimes.
I think that's like also just like a language barrier more than anything else. Like, I could think, be. But that's just
have this wedding boot camp with him and do that. Just go about that. Yeah, there's some things going on that I think you can get fixed if he can give you a few pointers.
So in other words, you're saying shut the fuck up, right?
Yes.
Now. Okay.
Yes.
I'll be real with you. Like, there's times when you have to shut the fuck up, and it's times when you feel like you should, but you can't, and you shouldn't always.
Okay.
There are times to just go like, fuck it, I'm gonna say it, and times you're like, I'm gonna hold this.
Okay.
Back.
So in other words, both of us could use some communication skills.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She also, I think, recognize that she's probably going through some of the same stuff like you are. I'm sure there are things that you say or do that, you know, she's like, Do I hold on to that one, or do I let it go?
Okay.
And then she lets it go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're hearing only
saying,
your
women,
side.
Women
of
are not the okay. soul. The soul.
So I have both of them up here on camera and talking about their problems.
Because this time you told stories, and they've been great stories, and she comes in and she'll say, like, it didn't go like that at all.
Yeah, but mine are more entertaining.
Absolutely. I just don't want to judge or give advice on only hearing one side of a story.
I got you. Oh, fair enough.
When you demonize your wife.
Thank you. Go get that fucking couch again. Thank you. With your infinite wisdom. Thank you. God damn it. I did. But you wrong. I missed you, man. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for coming back.
You should just keep doing what you're doing.
I see him back there. He's got those hands.
If you have to change, it's not right, Corey.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. You know what? I just wanted some advice. You know, you're the guy. We can move on to the
next one. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate y'all. I saw y'all in the chat. It was pretty much, man, just shut the fuck up.
Like, please stop.
It's easy.
It's like, I know I wanted more, but please stop.
All right.
I would say just shut the fuck up, but not always.
Okay. But when I don't, be smart about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Pick and choose your battles.
I'm learning. I'm getting there. It's going to take a little time. Of you course. Know, still got my marriage training wheels on. I'm going to fall a few times.
I would love that on a plaque. Just shut the fuck up, but not always.
And when you don't, be smart about it. All right. Let's go ahead then and get into Trailer Tuesday. And the first thing we have here, I think it's a trailer. It might be a teaser. I can't tell no more.
I know.
It might be a teaser for another trailer. I don't know.
Motion poster.
Yeah. A motion poster.
a new logo.
A trailer for a teaser. Yeah. I don't know no more. But everybody's going crazy with this because this, whatever we have, is based on one of the most famous lines in movie history.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah. 2003, The Room.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Wiseau. Oh, man, this is lines like that have made this movie, a shitty movie, a classic. I mean, right up there with the legit classics.
Yeah.
They say it's a masterpiece. Some have even said it's coined a new term. The disaster piece. And if you haven't seen The Room, it's been out since 2003. You need to watch
even
it.
Even though it looked like it was filmed in 1996.
Yeah. I know, man. It really is, man. It's one of those, I mean, it's Ed Wood classic. I mean, it's right up there, memorable with legit classic movies. Mm-hmm. People love this. They have screenings for it. They have sing-alongs with it. It's like the new Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, I feel like he's made millions of dollars throughout the years because of how bad this movie is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. And that's why people were saying, all right, you know something? This movie, it's so brilliant. It is so amazing. But when you watch the film, you're only getting half the story. I want to know what happened behind the scenes. How did this happen in the first place? I mean, some people say it's a miracle of a film they never got out there.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. So tell me more about this mysterious Tommy Wiseau and his feature film, The Room. Well, now, another fan out there, James Franco, said, I got y'all. You know what? Not only am I going to get this made, I'm going to direct it, and I have to do this. I have to be in it. A lot of people say, don't direct and act at the same time, but James Franco said, I have to, because when I put that mop on my head, I look just like him. It must happen. So we have here the teaser trailer, I don't know what the fuck it is, for James Franco in the Tommy Wiseau story, The Disaster Artist.
Ready, camera has three. And action.
What line? What is line?
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Okay.
Action.
What is line?
Take 13. Action.
I did not hit her. Okay. Line.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Take 67. Action.
I hit her.
No.
You're doing great, man. We'll get there.
Action. 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 Action.
You have to say it loud. I can't hear it in here. Say action so I can hear her.
Okay. Action.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
People saw this today, and it's trending so hard. It made the news. It was on CNN. It made trending on Facebook. People are really hungry for more Room. I'm sorry, not Room. You have to make that distinction.
Exactly.
The Room of the Room. Now, you were laughing at this. You hadn't seen this yet, right?
No. I wasn't able to catch it at South by Southwest.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
It was like, of all the movies that came out that year, I guess this year, that was the one that I had the most people, the people who don't fall for the whole festival, you know, having festival goggles.
Yeah.
They were the ones coming out going like, no, this is actually really good. Best movie I saw.
Okay. Because, you know, I guess word of mouth is pumping this movie up right now. Maybe South by Southwest did it a favor because, you know, I see things going on right now where people are so excited for this that they are talking about, and let me see right here. I pulled up an article. Like, I'm looking at the Los Angeles Times right here. And they said, man, this is so good. It's The Disaster Artist, James Franco, next Oscar shot at the goal. I'm like, no, wait a minute. Hold on.
Slow down.
I'm like, you pump your fucking brakes. Hold on now. Hold on. Wait a minute. I didn't see the movie, so I can't say anything. Mm-hmm. I love The Room just as much as anybody else. I love Frankie Boy just as much as anybody else. I think his best performance is at the Academy Awards.
And his little
when he was just high out of his mind.
Yeah, when he's high out of his mind.
Anne Hathaway.
It was so natural.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
He just came out, eyes red, staring at the cameras. I know my nominee is. But I don't know about that because, listen, he's got the look. When I first saw the pictures of him, when he was looking like Tommy Wiseau, I said, man, yeah. I mean, he's just a slightly more handsome version of Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, he's more handsome, and he looks like a real human being, where Tommy Wiseau just looks like he's put together partially with Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Some House of Wax shit.
And his hair's just too stringy and Jerry Curlish. But it's, one of the funniest things is how he always said he was from New Orleans.
He says he's from Northern Louisiana.
Yeah.
Who has this accent in America?
No, I heard an interview with Seth Rogen. He's like, no, he's from Eastern Europe.
Man, yeah, we saw Tommy Wiseau.
Yes, that's right.
When we went to the room. He came to town. A friend of ours said, I got tickets for both y'all. Come on. And we went over there. And that's why, to this day, I'm going to give the man the benefit of the doubt. I said, this motherfucker is a marketing genius. I'm not buying this act.
Well, I tell you, man, the whole time you were watching him with that, when he introduced the movie and did the Q&A, they did the Q&A first, and it was people who had clearly seen the movie and wanted to ask him laughing questions about it. He seemed irritated the whole time through that Q&A.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was like, man, this is the angriest Q&A I've ever seen.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he was acting or if he was playing a character.
It's a great movie.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he says this isn't meant to be this way. This is like a serious drama. Yeah. Like, you should not take it like a comedy movie.
That's how it came off in the Q&A. Like,
yeah.
We're like asking questions about a comedy movie, and he was just irritated. And so some of them like, I'm not even going to answer that.
And he had because he was in Texas, he was walking around with a holster and a gun. I was like, that shit might be real. Yeah. I put my hands down. He turned around. I saw that shit. I put my hand down quick.
Freeze, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a great prankster, or he was doing that completely under contractual
obligation. I know. Like, this is like Tommy Wiseau is what you imagine like Tommy Lee Jones looking like when he was like 8 years old or something.
Yeah.
You know, he's a weird looking dude. And James Franco, I think he's got the look down. There are certain moments where you see him, you're like, all right, you know what? I can buy it. But that voice, you know, because right now, I don't know about no Oscar shit, because at this moment, it's James Franco playing he's playing Tommy Wiseau for Halloween. And that voice, it just ruins everything.
I did not hit her. Okay. Why?
But that's James Franco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That ain't Tommy Wiseau.
I'm hoping, and again, because this is some weird indie shit, which The Room was as well, is that they're doing this on purpose so it sounds bad. So when you actually go and see it, they actually put some effort into the voice being done right. Because I feel like I've heard Seth Rogen and James Franco talk about this movie all the time. Mm-hmm. So they have like a lot of passion for it. And to make this disaster artist movie, I feel like they're going to try to nail it as best that they can. And James Franco is probably going to get better with the voice as the movie comes out.
I kept hearing how well he does the voice.
Okay.
So it's odd to see this.
What'd you hear? Same. Also, with the actual movie, The Room, there's a ton of ADR in it.
Yeah.
So they might make a point of showing that in this, too, because I'd imagine those ADR sessions were hell to go through.
Well,
with Tommy
shit, the way they were shooting this, it looked like it was hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, his brother, Dave, I don't know, for some reason, Ray Franco. Dave Franco just looks funny to me, man. as the actor Mark. He don't look like him, and I don't want him to.
Greg Sestero.
What's his name?
That's, Greg Sestero. That's the actor's real name. I've watched this movie. This is the second most movie I've watched after Pee Wee's Big Adventure. I love this movie.
I'm shocked.
You shouldn't be.
How many times has he made you watch it?
Oh, I watch this shit willingly. I love The Room.
Yeah. No. Come on, man. You remember your first time seeing The Room. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah. I told you, everybody, that's the great thing about The Room. Everybody has their first time. It's like sex. Everybody has, and it's not good the first time. Everybody has their first room experience, the room experience. Mine, as I've said, is watching Adult Swim at night, and I thought it was Tim and Eric.
Yeah, it was like 2007 or 2008, and I got on Facebook. I was like, what the hell is this on Adult Swim? And like three other people were like, yeah, what is this? Like, I'm not changing the channel. I can't look away.
I know. I watched this shit for like an hour, waiting for Tim and Eric to step in. I'm like, where are they?
And then like the sex scenes are all blurred out.
And now it's like pixel later because they blow it up. Yeah, man. I said, this is the longest fucking Tim and Eric show that I've seen on here. And then I realized it's April Fool's because they ran it in a loop all day.
All day and all night. It's like, here, you're watching this whether you want to or not. I was like, where's Aqua Teen at?
Yeah, exactly, man. And they kept putting up, and I don't know how many times they missed an order because they kept putting up the 1-800 number or whatever to order the movie. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people didn't try because they thought it was a gag.
Right.
You know, but that was my first experience place with it. And I loved it, man, until it's, you know, Room fans start getting on my fucking nerves. But before that, you know. No, I mean, present company. Excuse me.
You a fan, whether you want to or not.
No, man, I love, man, you know me. I love bad movies. Mm-hmm. My wife said you can't bring them over to the house, though.
Yeah, she was heated. You can't bring this guy to the house. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Findings broker.
Yeah, broker. She's like, yeah, because I was on the phone like, hey, man, bring Chips over. She's like, I'll be goddamn.
Yeah, but if he brings his little friend, she'll be all right.
Yeah. Your friend is cool, but now that you gave her one of her friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she has no need for you anymore. Oh.
She still ain't got the tools yet.
I know. Believe me, she thought about that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I told him to fuck off. Oops. But, here's the other thing about this, man. My worry, and I guess I shouldn't because a lot of people are saying it's great, but I'm not gonna go by a festival. I'm sorry, I have to.
No,
see it
I get you. I get you. But you like The Interview.
Well, The Interview. Oh, the movie.
Yeah,
The Interview. Yeah, no, I did. There's a lot of things, but I see that excluding what the word of mouth for things. You know,
right. But it's the same guys who did that. So I'm sure if you like The Interview, you probably like this as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, man, y'all know me. I love Seth Rogen and Friends, Franco and Friends. I love them. But my worry is, okay, yeah, I do. I love The Room because I love bad movies.
Right.
Why? Because bad movies, they're hard to top. Incompetence is comedy in its purest form sometimes.
Well, it's good when a movie is bad and it's in earnest. Where they tried their best and didn't have the talent or the money, and it comes out bad.
Man,
that's
good.
Yeah. It's just when somebody makes a bad movie on purpose where I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Don't do that shit on purpose. Stupidity is sometimes the purest form of comedy. Mm-hmm. That's comedy from the heart.
Right.
You know? And I appreciate that. And like you said, don't make something that's bad on purpose to try to stop the pure stuff. And that's what I'm afraid about with this. And when I look at this, like I'm looking at, if you put the scenes together, like what's funnier, the original or people trying to copy the original? I mean, let's look at the original right here and see how Mr. Tommy Wiseau does it himself.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Now, let's look
at...
I did not. Now, let's look at Franco.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
You know, don't touch the original.
You know what I think is going to happen with this, and I probably shouldn't keep hyping it up more, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff that happened behind the scenes, and I think there was a book written about it, about how bad, like everything was going.
That's
and how
this is based on.
Yeah, so like I feel like they're going to show a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about, and then they're going to put moments of the movie, like the iconic moments, in there. So you're like, oh, okay, that's where this came from, and that's what led up to this.
Yeah, and
side comparison like that, yeah, the original's funnier. But what makes the new one funny is, at least makes it as funny, is how they play it as they go like, well, this explains how that happened.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know, you make a good point because, you know, if you the more clever you try to be, the more potential you set yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
But as we've seen, and I can't judge because there's been movies made about people who do terrible stuff, and it's been great. Ed Wood got Martin Landau an Academy Award. And today, I still think that's my favorite Tim Burton movie.
That's his best movie.
That really is.
Hands down, that's his best movie.
Yeah, that's the one without all the Tim Burton gimmicks. That's the one, as you say, feels earnest.
Yeah.
And it made for a great film. And James Franco and Seth Rogen, all those guys love The Room. So maybe
it's their Ed Wood.
It's their Ed Wood. Mm-hmm. You know, that heartfelt funness they have for it will come out there. And, you know, I guess I get worried because it was Sammy who brought up to me today how when you look at some of the things that are going on with the film, with the spotlight off of James Franco, you were getting, let me see, I'm going to pull up a picture right here. You're getting the regular crew. You know, you're getting Seth Rogen and the usual guys that you see hanging out with him in movies or on Adult Swim or something.
Sure.
And I'm just hoping that it's not going to be something where these guys are dressing up and just having fun and making themselves laugh. Because I've seen them do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I love these guys, by the way.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying that to put down the movie, because Martin knows. Martin, he gets mad at me because I love Seth Rogen so much.
I don't. Tony and Adam Sandler and you and Seth Rogen. Man, Seth Rogen ain't fucked up as bad as Adam Sandler.
No, don't you put, man, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
No, I like Seth Rogen.
Yeah, no, I really do too, man. I think he's a guy that's one of the most honest guys in Hollywood and really is just having a good time. I get jealous of dudes who just have this power and just make movies for themselves, and they're the ones who were just all in on it. But Seth Rogen.
So you do love Adam Sandler?
No, fuck no, man. Because
he's everything you just described.
No, Seth Rogen is actually that guy with some cleverness. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the one that actually does try to say something. He puts something out there for the audience. That's why I love Sausage Party so much. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe that this is going to go to that level right there. I do believe that it could be. That this is something they love it so much they don't want to actually go out there and represent it wrong. Because what I want from this is what everybody else wants. I want to go in and say, okay, this is such a fascinating story. What is it that you can educate me on? You know, what is it that I don't know?
Plus, it's you not having to read the book on how the movie was made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just watch the movie for
yeah, yeah. I didn't read Harry Potter. I'd be goddamn, I read Tommy Wiseau's story.
You know? The other thing I noticed is this isn't made by Sony, who is their big backers. It was New Line and A24 were the people behind it. So I was like, all right, I guess, yeah.
I mean, when I see that A24, mm-hmm. you know, that's cool. As long as they don't pull some shit like they did when It Comes at Night, where they talk about his Tommy Wiseau, we only get one scene with him.
What if he was the It and It Comes at Night?
It's a sequel.
Oh, hi, Joel.
It's real talk out.
He walked that red door.
Okay, bye.
Are we never going to forgive A24 for that?
No, no. Because they need to be reminded, don't you ever do that shit again. I mean, they fucked up a perfectly good movie, man.
What comes at night?
We don't know. See, we hope you can tell us. That's what you paid to come here for, right? No, hell, I'm not going to do that. Nah, but I think this is going to be fun, man. I'm very excited about the word of mouth that's behind it. I'm just, these days with anything, I don't want to get myself too hyped up.
It's with so much hype.
Yeah, it really is.
And hype can ruin it. It'll be something that's okay, but they hyped it so much, you're like, man, it ain't all that.
I think it's dope, though, how they did it, because it's like the same way with The Room. Like, it was spread by word of mouth, and that was something that happened with The Disaster Artist, this movie coming out. So people are like, hey, have you seen the trailer? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? So I'm like, oh, it's kind of decent advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for it. I'm happy that, like I said, man, I don't care how you got your success. If you entertain people with it, which Tommy Wiseau does, he brought joy to a lot of people's lives. By
multiple
fucking
times.
Yeah. So good for him. Get some last words in there, man.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hey, how perfect. And I want this movie to do well, man. I'm rooting for it all the way, because if this does well, then maybe we'll get that. We'll get Michael Fassbender in the Fateful Finding story.
Yes.
If only.
Yeah, because I want to know this one.
I got to know how many laptops they went through in the making of this movie.
It'll be a horror movie. Like, he just kills laptops. Have you not seen this?
I have not.
Man. Who's the director?
Him, Neil Breen.
I know it's him.
Neil Breen.
Man, he must have went someplace and got a discount on broken laptops, because throughout that movie, he destroys about 50 of them. Yeah.
Goodwill. Oh, that hurt
that
to watch.
First book made a fortune for you.
Fuck this laptop.
I can't wait any longer. I'm not ready.
Laptops, they're like, man, I ain't saying shit.
Mark, you gotta see that movie, man. Yeah. You got to see that movie.
Laptops on the side thinking they good. Yeah. They just watching shit. They're like, oh,
that was
fuck.
Yeah. That was close.
No way! Yeah. There's a part where a laptop actually dumped shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, man. I love it. I love it. Yeah. More biopics and more bad movies.
Me would probably be really happy to see that clip.
Laptop's getting destroyed.
With my fingers on it. Ow. Oh, let's see. Now let's go to something here that nobody asked for. I don't think. I mean, after the history of this, nobody was asking for another Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Ooh. And you okay? All right. Okay. Okay. Well, Black Michael Cera and Martin. They're looking for another one, so you're the one. Black Cera. But here's the thing, man. you know, I love the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You know, it's famous for a lot of reasons. I mean, yeah, for shocking people, for giving us an iconic horror figure. But the first one was known for also for its cleverness. I mean, for being real, legitimate, well-made horror, where a movie that is thought to be so gory. I mean, it actually got into people's minds. Like, they were asking people, they're like, man, you seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Man, I can't fuck with that. It was so bloody. It was so gory. And like, ain't no blood in that shit.
Oh, really?
There's hardly any blood in it. And the violence, a lot of the violence is just implied.
What happened was true.
The most bizarre and brutal series of crimes in America.
Mr. Bones.
Billy Bones, there you are. You know, it was horrific images, and the thing that really did it was scenes like this where I forgot the main actress's name, but she's the one that really horrified people, especially near the end of the movie.
Just as terrifying as being there. Even if one of them survives, what will be left? The Texas.
That sheep, man. They said they scared the fuck out that girl so much that she was actually traumatized.
Oh,
after
damn.
This. Yeah, yeah. It was really her and her reactions and the images that she had to see that really scared the shit out of people. So this new movie right here, they said there wasn't no blood. Wasn't no gore in it? Oh, well, we got to fix that. You know, we got to come in and take care of that. We got the story of Leatherface. It is such a story that this movie is not called The New Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Millennium, or whatever. It's just simply called Leatherface. For those of you who want to know more about Leatherface, even though they told you all about him, people said, I didn't need to know that shit. And they're like, no.
What's his sign?
Yeah.
Like he just got jealous. Oh, Jason gets his name in the title. Why can't I?
Seems like a total Leo.
Yeah.
This sounds like Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Ooh. See? Well, you know what, Martin? I'll let you look at this, and I will let you be the judge. Let's go ahead. I mean, it is so bloody. They added so much gore. It was. They had to make the trailer red, man. And believe me, there is a lot of blood. And let's go ahead and take a look at Leatherface 2017.
Oh no.
Okay, you know, some crazy images in there. Some intriguing spots. It's like it's a trailer with hardly any dialogue, so it kind of makes you wonder what's going on. I can't respect that with this, but the thing that I really think they're messing up here is that the more you know about Leatherface, the sillier the shit gets.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they did that with Tech. That was the biggest mistake with Texas Chainsaw. Well, that shit had a lot of problems, but Texas Chainsaw 3D. That's one of the biggest problems with it. It's like, did we need to know that Leatherface had a long-lost sister? that came in and was trying to plead with him to stop killing people.
Did we meet Trey Songz in this movie?
was that the sequel to the remake?
Was that the sequel to the remake? Texas okay. Chainsaw 3D?
Yeah. I remember really liking the remake.
A lot of continuity errors in it. Plays directly after
Direct, okay. All right.
Yeah. 1979, what up, motherfuckers?
Whoa. Yeah, man, it was some inconsistencies there. I remember this.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, this is
he used to dance with Shabadoo and
crew. Oh, God, that movie.
This is crazy, man. And see, it was bad enough that we had to find out that he got extended family going to college and living in the suburbs and shit.
Yeah.
You know, this old country-ass motherfucker with a chainsaw. But that's the other thing. Look, it's bad enough we're getting an origin of Leatherface. Do we really need to get the origin of his chainsaw? Knowing that he got on his birthday.
You ready for your present? Now go on now, pick it up.
Chainsaw bigger than him.
Congratulations, you're 9. Here's a chainsaw.
Yeah.
What to do with this?
Yeah.
Like the origin would just be him shopping at Lowe's or something. Yeah.
It was good.
I'll take this.
Yeah. What's the warranty on this thing?
Cash and credit. I'll be writing a check.
A leather check. But man, we don't need to know that. That takes all the mystery out of it. It's better when he's just a dude with a fucked up mask chasing people.
Yeah, man. And the other thing too, before the trailer even started, the company behind this, I was like, Lionsgate, like, what's their big franchise right now? Saw.
Oh, and they're trying to bring Saw back too.
Yeah, they're still making Saw.
Oh, I thought they were.
They
done
said
with
they
that.
Were done, but they're coming back with a vengeance.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, I heard so too that they're starting to back up again because it ruled Halloween for what, like 6 years? Yeah.
More than that.
And yeah. I think the next Saw movie is called Jigsaw, and it's all about Jigsaw.
Jigsaw,
the
yeah.
origin.
Yeah, it's like this, except with Saw.
It's gonna be him.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I saw like a promo. Or
Just the pig's head with the jigsaw.
Okay. Oh, don't tell me. You know, I want to know the origin of that tricycle. You know, I want
to say, like,
beating up a kid in the first movie. Don't they tell you his origin?
A little bit.
But you got to go more into it. You got to see when he gets the cancer.
I want to see.
This is Iron having him smoking.
No, I want it before that. I want to see him going to Toys R Us getting that tricycle. I want to go to Hobby Lobby where he's getting all the shit for the puppet. You know, I want if you're going to give me an origin, give me all the shit. But yeah, man, this is where they're doing the opposite of what the original movie did by throwing in more gore, mm-hmm. throwing in more blood. I mean, I really do think that it's kind of I know you like the Platinum Dunes one. I didn't. I really didn't like that movie.
No, it scared me. Jessica Biel one? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
because most horror movies, I'm like, I don't give a shit. But that one, like, that idea getting stuck in a small town with Art Lee Ermey as a crooked sheriff
in
all
Texas.
Man, they scared the fuck out of Martin because I came out and I was like, man, that's some bullshit. Martin, like, I liked it. I said, why? And I remember Martin looking at me like, man, that shit can really happen. White people kill black people. I was like, well, I got you, got a point. But I'm still not into it. But this one, I just hate how they just, I don't know. I don't hate. But it just seemed like they're really trying to pour it on thick and doing the opposite of what the first one did. To the point where the gore to me even looks silly. Like, if you blow a person's brains out with a shotgun, I don't think his blood's going to pop up like you just popped a can of Pringles or something. Oh, what the fuck? Get out of here. Like,
once you pop, the fun don't stop.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they just clapped a Capri Sun. somebody just squeezed the ketchup bottle.
Like you shot the Kool-Aid, man.
Honestly, that's like looking at an episode of Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's the gore for what they're trying to do here even looks kind of silly. It might be their saving grace here, though, because with the other movies, I think they were just doing it with directors who maybe they like horror, maybe they didn't, but they weren't crazy mm-hmm. like these two directors they have here. Directors that they got for this. You saw a problem in the trailer. It's for a movie called Inside. Have you ever heard of this before?
Nope.
You've seen that movie?
It sounds familiar.
I'm not going to say anything. I'll just say it's. You've seen it.
I've heard it.
Okay. It's one of the most fucked up horror movies I've ever seen. It's a French film. It's two directors, Alexandre Bustillo and Julien Maury. Those guys, I guess they're French directors. And Tony told me to see, like, oh man, like, Tony's fucked up. I mean, I know y'all love Tony, and I love Tony to death, but Tony is fucked in the head. He sits up there and watches horror movies like he's watching the Hallmark Channel. And he's like, and he told me, like, if I like one other horror movie, I like this. Another horror movie, like some zombie flick or something. It's like, no, man, this was some demented shit. It was, I'll say, it's just about a crazy woman who's chasing a pregnant woman through her home.
Oh.
And it's fucked up the way it ends.
No thanks.
Yeah, man, it made me mad when I watched that. I was like, I don't want to watch this shit. What the fuck are you doing here, man? And you know, look, maybe they'll bring another insane level. Like, I don't mind them bringing the blood and stuff in, but that's why Texas Chainsaw Massacre was so freaky to people. Because in addition to the horror that was implied in it, it also just scared the fuck out of people with all the freakiness that was happening sure. in there. Mm-hmm. And these two directors, they bring the freak. So, you know.
Shashik.
Yeah, Shashik. Help me out. But if they can actually do something, even if it's demented, that's different and can set it apart from the original and all the others, I'll give it a slide.
I feel like they're throwing away, like, they're throwing more gore in there, but they're also throwing a lot of the mystery away. That was one of the biggest parts sure. about Chainsaw yeah. Massacre. That was, like, one of the most eerie things about it. Like, how did this come to be? How is this family this way? How are the police involved with this? This is insane.
And it was based off of a true story. Well, it's the Ed Gein story. Ed Gein was the influence for Psycho and
Ed Gein.
For Psycho and some other things. So this is taking just parts of his story. He was a real serial killer who made like lamps out of people's skins and skin and stuff like that. So it is a freaky story, and people knew that. And since they knew there was like a just an ounce of truth in this, people thought that this was true.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was true for the longest time. I'm like, I'm never going to Texas.
Yeah, people really did think it was true for a long time.
And it's not a polished film. So the way people were watching this, it was so raw that it felt, I mean, even though it has
footage.
It has edits, it has cuts, but it's so minimal in its production and music and sound that it really just scared the fuck out of people because it felt real. And so, you know, I think what they're trying to do with this, as long as they don't try to recapture what they have here, maybe turn it into something new, then all right. Because you're never going to be able to recapture what they did with the original.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I get that they're wanting to do something different, but they're doing something different in the same way we've seen everyone try to do something different by giving the monster more of a backstory. When you shine the flashlight at the monster, it's not scary anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it.
Yeah, when you shine the light on, that's when you see that zipper to that costume.
Exactly.
Have we had a good movie where they were like, here's the origin story of Freddy Krueger or this person where we found it interesting?
No. Even like Prometheus, when they try to give like the alien an origin, it's like, well, now the alien's less effective to me.
Yeah.
Well,
as gosh, much. No, go ahead.
Well, just now that you guys say all this, now I'm not looking forward to Disaster Artist anymore.
That's, guess that's a horror movie too.
This is how Tommy Wiseau got his hair and his accent.
Yeah, man, you know, all good points, man. I think we're all in agreement that, you know, you just, if you put too much in there, you ruin it. The mystery is the reason why you do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But if you're gonna go all the way, don't pull some shit like we saw in that movie we just saw last week, Wish Upon.
Oh.
You know, if you're gonna do some gore, do something. Steven Dorff is in this as the sheriff, I guess that's what I saw him in there. And they had that last scene. I'm like, hey, look, if these two directors want to be crazy, you better slice that face up. You better dig deep in there, because if you do some shit where, you know, he's about to slice his face up and some girl comes behind Leatherface and hits him in the head with a bottle and he just starts leaning over and shit, then that's a cop out.
Mm-hmm.
You ask me.
I was told today that Wish Upon had 11 extra minutes that was going to push it to the next rating level, and they cut it out because they wanted to get that lower rating.
Yeah, I read that today too. I actually heard the movie was like 2 hours long.
Damn.
Yeah, so, anyway.
Gertz's face. No.
No, no. Do that. Oh, hell no. No, they knew what they were doing. That shit in and out. They knew the wishes of every audience member that was in there.
2 hour long movie where the villain's a music box. Fuck you, man.
Wait, I'm a demon.
You have to see the origin of the box.
Yeah, I know where it comes from.
Yeah, what goodwill did it come from? Anyway, let's move on to our next thing. Speaking of horror, let's talk about a true innovator in horror, a true legend, a man who changed everything out there. And I'm a little upset about this. I was a little taken aback. I'm talking about, and you might know since I'm such a huge fan of zombies, I'm talking about none other than George Romero, died at 77. That's still young these days, man. As Martin says, I'm mad that he didn't come back. I've been sitting there waiting, as I said earlier, in the zombie patch, waiting for him to show up, and he ain't showing up yet.
You lied to me.
But I'm a little upset because I thought that that would have made more news. I mean, horror fans know about it, and film fans and people that we know.
It's funny you say that because I saw it all over Facebook.
Yeah, and Twitter.
Over Facebook and Twitter, but it was the fans that were putting it up because we know those people who do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, I was expecting, hey, look, I know it's unrealistic, but I love George Romero so much. I wanted shit to just stop. I wanted CNN to, like, just stop everything. Stop reporting on terrorism. Be like, we just got word. Legendary director George Romero dead at 77.
You wanted him to get, like, a Prince thing? Like, where everybody just stopped and like, we got to talk about it?
Yes. Yes, okay. I did. I
don't know. It could have happened, but he blew it.
Yeah. Did you see George Romero's halftime show?
Shit. Come on, man. Come on, you can't do that. Just stop everybody doing Thriller and shit. But I get it. To a lot of people, George Romero is no Prince. But is he up there with Prince to me and should be for everybody? I think so. If you a film fan.
I knew he was going to do that.
I know. Can I, but I'm with you. He couldn't quite get there because... And you're gonna get mad at me for saying this. I'm gonna say it too. As much as this is my wish. I wanted life to shut down, and everybody just look at George for a little while. But I just don't think he had the follow through to keep it going.
Well, it's also there's a famous story about them doing The Walking Dead and them saying like, "Hey, George, you're the father of this. Why don't you come direct some episodes?"
Oh,
hey.
Hold on, because we'll touch on that a little bit. No, save that story, man.
Okay.
No, right. Save it.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No, really, I want to hear what you say, but I don't want to say too much.
Gotcha. I know what you got planned, so I
No, that's a good thing, because I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing, too. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, played yourself. Uh-huh. Because, see, I think that the man, even though maybe he didn't have a follow-through, maybe was talking shit near the end of his life and kind of shot himself in the foot, but he changed the world. The man changed life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ironic for a man who did something with zombies, but he changed the face not only of horror, but of entertainment, of movies. Night of the Living Dead is a movie that changed my life as a kid. I used to watch that shit because when I was a kid, they used to have this movie, this show called Night Flight.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Night Flight. And
you never knew what they were going to play.
But I can tell you what they played all the time. The original, I think it was like 68 or something like that, Night of the Living Dead, the original black and white classic.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night. I like the way I took it out. Night of the Living Dead.
That piano got a lot of playback.
Who live on living flesh. The dead whose haunted souls hunt the living. The living whose bodies are the only food for these ungodly creatures.
That dude is into this. He's on the piano and talking ungodly creatures. And it was zombies that I loved, but at the time, what really made it for me, and Martin probably knows where I'm coming from with this, it had a black protagonist in it.
Yes.
And I can't,
Who was the last one standing?
The last one standing. I waited for this. I watched the movie. I said, well, I'm going to wait about 30 seconds for this Negro to die. Uh-huh. And I'm going about my business because that's what they're going to do. I sat there and watched that whole movie, and he made it. Well, at the end, he got shot by rednecks. But
I was about to say,
yeah.
By the cops.
It was some rednecks that shot him. They were out there zombie hunting, and he looked through the window, and they shot his black ass up. And I was like, well, I can't be greedy after all. It was back in the day. It's enough that we got this. But it was. It meant a lot to me that, that was innovative within itself, that the black man didn't die after 2 minutes. And I was, it became one of my favorite movies for that. George Romero was ahead of his time because he was very socially conscious. I mean, that was a move on his part on purpose to make the black person the last one standing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was amazing. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I know you have.
I have not.
You have not seen it. But Sammy, can you put him on the show?
No, we're doing
God. Oh, shit. Well, you know what? Put it on your calendar and bring Gertz in so y'all can check it out.
Have you seen, was it Return of the Living Dead?
Oh, that bullshit.
Oh, yeah, you seen that one. The popping locker and the zombie.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's got the best ending.
No, but this right here.
More cops.
But Night of the Living Dead, if you haven't seen it, it's a classic. Now, I have to tell you that his sequel to that was something that brought me back into horror when I, because I went through my phases where I liked all kind of different stuff. You know, I was a Spielberg kid coming up, so Spielberg and Disney and animation, all that kind of shit. I was, it's when, you know, horror was kind of beneath me and shit too. And I wouldn't watch his other classic, 1978, which was Dawn of the Dead, the one that took place in a mall, which was very socially conscious.
Dawn of the Dead is here.
That narration scared the shit out of him. It's here.
Oh, fuck! No! Narration!
Be lulled by the concept that these are our family members or our friends. They are not. They will not respond to such emotions.
Give me a kiss.
Dracula.
You know, the reason why I love that is because that's the one that really set the rules in for zombies. You know, how they came back, how they affected society. That's when the apocalypse came in. But also, I just love the whole thing where it's in a mall. And George Romero says, you know, he doesn't like to do anything that doesn't say anything, mm-hmm. which would reflect on what he how he felt about the genre later. But this was all about, and it wasn't heavy, but it was like, yeah, you know, you can enjoy it as a monster flick or a zombie flick, but it's a statement about consumerism, mindless consumerism, and of all places, a mall.
Sure.
And the mall has become a classic setting for zombie things, man. Dead Rising and yep. all kind of things, man. It's the guy's had a lot of influence. Now, that's probably right up there, top three favorite horror movies ever.
Yeah, Dawn they always played it on UPN, which is, if you don't know what UPN is, a very black network at the time.
Well, you know why? Because the black dude.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure it out because it was like right after an episode of Moesha. I'm dating myself, I know. but I was right after that went off. I'm sorry. I was watching. I was like, all right, what's going to come on next? And they're like, Not a Living Dead. I was like, all right, like you, is the. God dang it, there's a brother there. And I was like, all right, I'm going to stick to this and see what's going on. And he lasted until the very end. I was like, well, this is unfortunate.
And he was a cool brother, too.
Yeah, they slapped that
everybody to shut up.
The Jesus out of Barbara, whatever her name was.
Yes. And he told me, I love, man, that dude was in, Ken Foray is his name. I love that guy. Rob Zombie loves that guy too. But I mean, he pulled one dude aside. He was like everybody's daddy, like, you can fuck with your life if you want to, but you ain't fucking with mine. And he lived.
yeah. And I remember another big scene in that was when the little kid turned. And the mom was trying to hug it. And I was like, wow. At that point, I still haven't seen anything like that where mom was like, I'm like, your child is a zombie. You should kill it. No, I love it. Fuck that.
Man, the beginning of that movie is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like when they're trying to bring order and they're doing like a martial law in the city and mm-hmm. in the suburbs. This the movie, I've seen when I saw it, I had seen nothing like it. I was like 17 years old. I don't know why I missed it, but it again, changed my life. I was like, this is changing the rules of everything. And it did. And also gave me one of my favorite songs, not just in horror movies, but in all movies. One of my favorite themes. You remember that jam? The Gunk. They play that at the end credits of the movie where all the zombies are walking through the mall.
That's where this comes from?
What else is it?
I know, but I can't think of it.
A lot of people can't think. Sammy, what is it?
Robot Chicken theme?
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, before that chicken got it, those zombies had it first. Because everybody, when they hear it, they're like, even some people know Dawn of the Dead. They're like, what the fuck is that chicken singing, man? I know that shit. Yeah, Robot Chicken, man. The song is called The Gunk. It's taken from another song, like part of a bigger song. But they put it at the end. It's classic because while the credits are rolling, they got this humorous theme going on. The zombies are just mindlessly shopping, running the walls and doors and shit. But it was amazing. You know, the thing is that he completed that trilogy. And by the time that trilogy was done, the guy remained relevant. And that's where your favorite one came out.
Oh, The Return of the Living Dead.
That, the same year that there was another film that came out. And by the time Day of the Dead came out, that was 1985. At the same time, George Romero had turned a trend into mm-hmm. a full-fledged genre. He mm-hmm. invented the genre. Mm-hmm. You had The Return of the Living Dead here, which the genre was so deep now that they had a comedy. This was a comedy.
Yeah.
Starring you, Miguel. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I love that scene when when that girl's stripping, he's on top of that tombstone. Yeah, girl! Get naked, girl! Yeah!
It was directed by the guy who wrote Alien, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Tell me something. And over in Italy, Lucio Fulci.
Daniel Bannon?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan O'Bannon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lucio Fulci had a zombie in Zombie 2 coming out. So, it has spread around the world, man. I'm going to show a clip of, I forgot to put it up, but I'm going to watch a clip later of Day of the Dead. It's one of my favorite scenes in movies, man.
If I'm not mistaken, I could be.
What's up?
Return of Living Dead was when they introduced the whole thing of zombies eating brains.
Eating brains. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one. That, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody thinks it's there from the beginning, but it wasn't until that movie.
Nah, it was that one. And because they always like, brains.
The Tar Man.
Yeah, the Tar Man. Yeah, that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite zombies, man, ever. But as you can see, you didn't have George Romero, who invented this. Who could have thought that horror would have become so mainstream with The Walking Dead? You know, we never would have had The Walking Dead if you didn't have George Romero. And, you know, no pun intended, but this is this is a genre. No matter how many people say and debate and argue that this is going to die, it never dies. It never goes away. It keeps evolving into other things.
Mm-hmm. Like a zombie.
Like a zombie. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Shut the fuck up.
You said yourself. Man,
I said no pun intended, and you had to make a pun intended. I was trying to walk around that shit.
You said exactly what I said.
No. I tried to.
Everybody heard.
I tried to avoid it.
You said all you want. Everybody heard.
He gonna edit out of the show when he puts it up.
And not bad for a guy that his first paying gig was on Mr. Rogers. There was, and people know the man. He on the George Strombolopoulos show. They
just
brought it up.
Faraday,
what's that? A little sock puppet.
Won't you be my dinner? But yeah, and I guess it was kind of a gory horror thing because Mr. Rogers, you can't find it online. Mr. Rogers went and got a tonsillectomy or whatever. And he had cameras come in and he was narrating the whole thing. These people have kind eyes.
But what do you think of this?
The kind eyes.
He's high as fuck right now. He's being put under.
Of the people in the operating room, even though they wore masks, I could see their kind eyes.
Jesus Christ.
I could see them carving into me now. Well, there go my organs. But yeah, I don't know why you can't find it anymore, but on that show it was brought up. I didn't even know that until recently. You know, brains to question what a guy that changed the world. I mean, in a way, he is like Prince and other people that do things of such creative, legendary content. He changed the world forever. We see it changed the genre, created a genre. And why didn't people make such a big deal about his death then? Because, you know, if Spielberg dies, Spielberg is going to be the world going to stop.
Sure.
Spike Lee. If Spike Lee dies, the world going to stop.
I feel like you'll get more of the George A. Romero response.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Steven Spielberg is a multiple Oscar award winner. Like, Spike Lee is what, maybe one or two?
Jordan Peele dies. He's based on one movie, Get Out. But in 1981, because see, here's the thing about why George Romero, I think a lot of people didn't talk about it. In a way, I get it. In a way, I think it's a lot of people who are not giving him his due too much because, for one, he always took risk and he was always out there doing things and not worried about is it mainstream or is it famous. Not even worried about trying to replicate what he was doing. He always went out and took risks. Do you remember 1981 Knight Riders? Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, with
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris, yeah.
A really young Ed Harris. This was
like a biker gang.
What the hell is this,
man?
A biker gang that based their credo around King Arthur.
Yeah, they jousted on motorcycles. And it, yeah, man,
he mixed Hell's Angels with the
Renaissance Fair. And he pulled that shit off. This actually was,
this the 80s?
Yeah, 1981.
Cocaine, okay, thank you.
Yeah, man, I used to come on HBO and Showtime all the time.
I remember when I first saw this on TV, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I would watch it because he was still being socially conscious with it, ahead of his time, because it was Hell's Angels mixed with the Renaissance with a dash of homosexuality thrown in there. There was a dude who was trying to come out or questioning himself in the movie. In the movie, like I said, it's so crazy and pulled off all this shit, but it got critical acclaim.
Yeah, it pulled it off.
Yeah, it, man, it really did. It was like they played like Knights of the Round Table on bikes to the very end.
Yeah,
like they had kings and squires
in the modern day.
In the in the modern day.
Okay,
starring me. Yeah, man, we look at that dude looks like the Indian dude from Street Fighter.
Dalsim.
Yeah. And looking at a bald headed, long headed black dude in here, a red brown dude, but he pulled it off, man. And even and there were some other things that he would do that people didn't get, and people today, they say, yeah, you know what? People should have paid more attention to it back at the time because it was a it was an amazing film, and a lot of people who discover his later movies say, wow, I kind of like this better than some of his zombie films, including himself. Do you remember Martin?
The vampire?
Yeah, it was about a dude. It was came out in 1978. It was about a dude who thought he was a vampire.
My name is Martin.
I'm gonna use that for every time I introduce you.
I'm 84 years old. People think I'm crazy when I tell them how old I am. I'd like to be normal. I just have a sickness. The only way I can survive is by drinking blood.
What was cool about the movie is that you didn't know if he really was a vampire or not. Like, you know,
it's
if he
like
was
Vampire's
crazy.
Kiss before Vampire's Kiss.
And did it much better, uh-huh. If you ask me. Yeah, it's
Yo, you didn't have Nicolas Cage.
I'm a vampire! Hi, my name's Martin. I'm fucking nuts. Nuts!
Help us!
Blood! Yeah, it was. He says that people... He was saying that people come up today and they actually have him sign. Well, not anymore, but at the time they said,
"Come up to my tombstone. Yeah. Hey, can you sign my copy of Martin?
Come on, man.
George Romero's a dick.
Yeah. Come on, rise, man. Sign this shit." But yeah, he said people have him, had him sign more copies of Martin than zombie movies now, and he said it's my favorite movie. And you know, he was. But at the time, I don't know if a lot of people really got it. I know a lot of people did like it, but I don't know if it was. You know, I guess he was the zombie man, not the vampire guy, you sure. know. And those are things that kind of met with some success. Some of the other things that he did didn't. I know the more mainstream he got, the less successful he was with it. Like, and some of the stuff, I give him credit for trying, but some people said, all right, now you're getting fucking ridiculous.
Monkey shy.
I didn't know he did this.
Into terror.
Leap into terror. It was about a monkey.
I ain't gonna lie, I love the title.
Monkey shines. Yeah, man. It is exactly what you think it is. It's about, well, not exactly. I actually love the premise. Mm-hmm. A handicapped dude gets an assistant monkey uh-huh. who kills for him.
Man, it's the only animal.
You have a straight face?
A monkey with a switchblade. Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
Better than Child's Play. I give
you
that.
Man, if you give me a killer monkey movie like that with a dude in a wheelchair, I'm all in.
Dude, this Saturday.
Monkey Signs. Hey, I'll be there with you, man, because I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen this. It came out in 1988, man. I never saw it.
Saw this years ago.
Did you?
I was like six when I saw this.
Did it scare the fuck out of you then?
No, it was kind of boring, actually.
Of course it didn't, because it was a monkey with a switchblade. It's like, no matter how dangerous that they try to portray, it's still a monkey with a switchblade. That shit is funny.
So he's like, let me shave you real quick.
Yeah, and the dude is actually moving the monkey. He's like, no.
I remember like there's that shot of that monkey just like on top of like a shelf just looking down menacingly, just going like coming up. Where is it?
Oh, wait a minute, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, I got your ass.
This mean mugging monkey.
I think it's time to remake this.
Oh, I do too. I love this.
It's
I mean,
a good Planet of the Apes. Shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's true. The timing is perfect now. Yeah, I didn't watch it because at the time I was like 16, 17, and I was, you know, I was a snob. And
you could already tell, like, oh, this is gonna be some bullshit.
I could tell it was gonna be bullshit. And when the critics came in, they like, yeah, this is stupid. a monkey. They should have named this monkey with a switchblade.
But they said, monkey with a switchblade. I do love that expression on his face. I don't like any of this.
Yeah. Why are they making me do this shit? But yeah, man, it's it was a hard sell. But you tried. Yeah. Try something different.
You tried.
Yeah. You know, it was when he did do things that were kind of decent, when he teamed himself up with a big name, sometimes it worked. Now, not all the time. When he started teaming up with Stephen King, you know, Stephen King, we have a, like they say, we have a Stephen King renaissance now. But at the time, everybody was making Stephen King movies so much that they were hit and miss.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is this, 1993, The Dark Half?
Yeah.
When that came out, George Romero directed that. And you wouldn't know because the movie was a critical and financial failure.
Who was that? Was that Timothy Hutton?
Timothy Hutton. Yeah, the one where he's like a, he has a dark personality of himself. Yeah. He's a writer and his evil half comes out,
yeah.
Which is kind of a played out.
Yeah, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, you know, the my evil spirit coming out of my evil...
It's not me, it's that asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
What you, happens to be me.
My evil doppelganger. Yeah. Yeah. But he did team up with Stephen King to create an original piece of horror, which today is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Jolting Tales of Horror. Creepshow. From the author of Carrie, The Shining, and Cujo. And the creator of Night.
By that point, you're like, yeah, yeah, Stephen King. You don't even hear George Romero. Like, yeah, they got his name on the screen, but at that time, you hear Stephen King and you gone.
Yeah, he's right. Essentially Robin.
Yeah. By that, you don't even hear George Romero. They say, Stephen King. George Romero. They got him in there. Yeah, but the movie is I love it. It's a horror comedy. Now I watch it every Halloween, man. It's more of a cult classic. But even with the good movies,
remember to tell him to call you Billy.
Oh, I know. A lot of people don't even remember the creepy kid and when his dad took his comic book away and he's in his room with lightning going. He says, "I hope you burn in hell." That shit scared the fuck out of me before the monsters even showed up. Yeah. That kid right there. With that's like that's like one of the stories, the creepy kid, like the prologue and the epilogue. It's a cult classic, and over the years it's become like a classic piece of horror comedy, but still under that shadow of Stephen King. A lot of people don't give George Romero his due on that. He directed the movie. And you know, the guy went on to, it's not like he ever did not become relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the people were still remaking his stuff. Like you had the Crazies, which came out in 1973, but they kept remaking his stuff. Like 2010, they made the remake of that.
Do you not like the remake of that?
I'm not crazy about it. I think it's all right.
It's okay. Yeah,
I'm a big fan. It's not bad. I don't think it's great. Now, Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 remake.
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah.
That's Zack Snyder's best movie.
Yep. Still to this day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, man. And that's an amazing film. And so it's not like the guy ever became irrelevant. But I think where things start to decline with him is where I think he became just a little, I'm not going to, maybe stubborn is the wrong word, but
standoffish.
He just didn't become as progressive as the genre did. Mm-hmm. If it makes sense, because at that time he came out with, and they weren't bad movies. They were actually, you know, they weren't great, but they weren't hated. Critics gave them decent reviews, like Land of the Dead,
right,
and Diary of the Dead.
I like Diary of the Dead.
And he was trying new things with them. Like he evolved, he evolved the zombies to where they were now thinking they were led by a black dude that looked like he worked at a gas station.
He did work at a gas station. Right, because I remember I saw Land of the Dead, but that was the hook, right? That the zombies were getting smarter.
They were getting smarter.
Using guns and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they actually had a revolt and were going off to start their own land and shit. And Diary of the Dead was the one where it was the found footage.
Mm-hmm. They were going to start zombie land.
Yeah, you joke, but yeah, they really were. Going off to start their own zombie sovereign nation. And
legit, yeah. Yes. Like they were taking out the human settlement so they could go start their own thing. You're like, all right, we'll roll with that.
Sure, why not? But I think that with him, and you know, there were things that he just wasn't doing where the rest of the genre, it was doing things to evolve more than what he was doing. Like you have 20, and let me put up this up here because I've got to put down the put up the image, but. Things like 28 Days Later, you know, which helped it evolve, you know, brought in the fast zombies. Uh-huh. Even the remake of Dawn of the Dead had fast zombies in it. He was just not able to. I don't think he kind of kept up enough, even when he was trying to evolve, because his stuff started kind of doing the same thing, even though that they weren't bad, but they would have the whole cycle of the humans were worse than the zombies. One asshole or two asshole humans would screw something up, and a bunch of zombies would invade, and then everything would go crazy, and sure. everybody would die. And you know, and the movies also just got bad. Survival of the Dead was the one where they said, "Yeah, this is." You remember that one?
Yeah,
came out in 2010. That was just a bad movie. It was so bad that they just said, "Don't worry about the theater, George. They got this thing called DVD now."
Yeah.
The only families ever lived on this island were yours and mine. No strangers.
What are you going to do with them?
They're Muldoons. It's up to me to save them.
It was some interesting ideas in there, but the acting was bad. You mean you saw it with me. We were at Fantastic Fest.
Really?
And George Romero was there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that
blackout drunk.
No, he was sober. He just forgot the movie. You saw it, right?
Yeah. That was one of the things too, because I was watching it. I wasn't a big fan of Land of the Dead. I remember that came out like the same weekend as The Dark Knight. I'm sorry, Batman Begins.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, but then I saw Diary of the Dead at home, and I was like, oh wow, this is decent. Let me go ahead and check out this Survival of the Dead thing. I made it 20 minutes and it cut that shit off. I was like, I can't. This is horrible. Like, that's on some House of the Dead shit. And I hate that movie.
Oh yeah. No, it was bad, man. It was real bad. Man, I tell you what, Diary of the Dead is not one of my favorites either, but they got
that Amish dude.
Man, they got that Amish dude. Even somebody said, man, we right there with you, the chorus. They said, man, that's the best scene in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Stop. I don't think he's dead. He might not be dead.
Who are
you? He's asking us who we are.
The deaf Amish guy.
Yeah. Ooh,
Great. Our car broke down. We need help.
Again.
Can't hear. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
No, we don't need a car. We just need to fix ours. We need to use your barn. Hurry. What?
Oh shit!
Tony, how many blue bullets you got left?
Where did he go?
Jesus Christ!
He said, I ain't got no car, but I got some goddamn dynamite in my barn.
That dynamite and that pitchfork.
Oh yeah,
he was going in with the movie, dude.
Yeah, I said, man, the reason why I'm really sorry George Romero's gone, because I think I don't know spoilers, but I would love to have seen a spinoff with the Amish dude.
Yeah.
Death Amish dude, zombie killer.
Oh, Jesus, that'd be great.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm. Well, somebody pick that up.
Did he die in that movie?
Yeah, he did, man.
Spoiler.
Yeah, you ain't gonna see him no more.
Make it a prequel.
We can learn more about the Amish guy.
Yeah. Rise of the Slayer. Amish of the Planet of the Zombies.
Yeah. Him and Leatherface can be the same.
Somebody talk to Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Amish zombie killer versus Leatherface. But this is where Martin comes in, because in addition to the decline of his films, while things seemed like they were progressing and everybody was happy with zombies, he's like, yeah, but nobody check with me.
Yeah, it's like all that talk of him being the godfather or the father of zombies went to his head, and he really accepted that title like it was real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the whole thing where the guys making Walking Dead asked him to direct some episodes. He's like, hey, you're the king of this. And he was like, he's like Martin Landau is Bela Lugosi. Like, nah, this shit you guys do. It was like, what you're doing is making a soap opera that has zombies drop by ever so often. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you could have really come in and done something. Or at least just had your name stamped on it.
That said, that is a very accurate description of the show.
No. I mean, you hear that, you go like, well, yeah, that does describe it to a point. But he could have come in just to have his name on it, or say, like, well, I'm going to do some episodes that do have more zombies in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at the telegraph.co.uk. They did an interview with him, and it's in there where they said, they asked him about that. And they're like, yeah, you thought The Walking Dead was a soap opera. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. They didn't call me.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're going to do a TV series. It has to be a soap opera.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
They asked him this during what was that, season two? The whole, where they're on the farm majority of it. And he was like, this is not what I'm into.
And I don't blame him for that, because when they were on that farm, it was kind of lame.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, be a little humble about it. You know, people trying to pay, they were trying to pay him respect. Even in death, the makers of Robert Kirkman and everybody, they're like, yeah, man, you know, guy was talking shit about us, but we owe him
yeah
a lot. And I really think I'm not going to say that that's the case, but I think that a lot of people just kind of like, all right, well, fuck you then. You know, and he was talking shit about everything.
Oh, really?
If it wasn't his name on it, he didn't like it. Like, man, World War Z, he was talking about. He said Romero doubled down, spewing some relentless World War Z hate. Along comes Brad Pitt. This is what he said. Along comes Brad Pitt and spends $400 million or whatever the hell to do World War Z. Max Brooks is a friend of mine, and I thought the film was it was not at all representative of the book. And the zombies were, I don't know, ants crawling all over each other in Israel. Army ants. You might as well make The Naked Jungle. The Naked Jungle is another movie about killer ants, which you know, a lot of people, I'm like, hey, man, you know, that scene was kind of cool.
Yeah, where they did something different.
Where the ants were, where they were crawling. People like that. They say where the zombies are crawling over each other. That was one of the selling points of the film. And to give credit right there for that, that was the AV Club where that quote came from. But I don't know, man, for a guy that really had everybody wanting to kiss his ass, seemed, I'm not saying he was, but seemed a little better.
I mean, honestly, man, it's something that happens to a lot of people as they get older. There's some point where they lock in time, and it's hard for them to move past that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that was with him. I think he was kind of stubborn and didn't want to see the evolution that he created happen.
Like everything you're doing right now, there's a point where it will evolve, and you'll go with it, and you'll go with it, and it'll at one point evolve to a point where you don't even recognize it
yeah.
anymore, and you'll just be like, nah, I'm not with that.
But okay. That's weird, though, because he was, like, willing to make a found footage movie with zombies in it, and the found footage is, like, a new thing, so he would step in and do that, but he wouldn't want to step
he
in and do something else.
He didn't invent found footage, though.
Right, but I'm saying he's not willing to try new things and improve on what he has, and, like, I feel like when he was trying to do something with that with Diary of the Dead, and obviously he wasn't received well. Like, all right, you're willing to try something new, but you won't update your status quo when it comes to this. It's kind of odd.
No, I get you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, like, if nobody was talking to him.
Right.
You know, and then hey, then y'all shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm. They didn't ask me first.
You didn't kiss the rain, kiss that rotten hand.
Resident Evil.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's another thing I think he was upset about, because he was supposed to do Resident Evil.
Oh.
There was a script that he did, and the script was very faithful mm-hmm. to the game.
Okay.
I've actually read a little bit of the script, and they kept. I mean, it's hard to tell whether that would have been great or would have been. Stupid.
You're almost a Jill sandwich.
It might have been dumb because he left the spiders in there and all kind of stuff that, like, man, I don't know. Maybe that need to be cut out. But I think that he had done that. And when he looks at what they did today, you know, this kind of crazy shit with Mia Jovovich and all. Yeah, I know. That's your favorite movie. Which one is that? The Final Chapter?
The Final Chapter.
Which it
yeah.
ain't.
No, definitely not.
No. But, you know, we would have got a much different series had he done it. But as you can see, they had a different idea. It's not so much horror. They wanted to go action. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe it's for the best. I don't know. But it's definitely something where I think he said, man, again, you wouldn't have Resident Evil without me. And you kicking me out to do this right here. But at the same time, did things his way up until the end. But I think that that's the reason why he's not getting the kind of respect that I think he should get, because a lot of people just, they tried to give it to him. He didn't want it. Or mm-hmm. he just didn't evolve enough to where the genre did that he created.
Yeah. Not enough to keep his name out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad, too, because, I mean, Martin's right. No matter how much you've done to innovate something or create something, if you're not relevant, that's not the case all the time. But if you're not, sometimes what you did can bury you. Even though by no means did this bury him. People today are saying,
sure.
You know, this man deserves the utmost respect, like me. Yeah, you got anything to say?
No, I mean, I agree with your point, Martin. He was given opportunities to be culturally relevant in his final days, and he kind of turned his nose up at him. I kind of get I could understand why
he
did.
Oh, I get
did.
It, too.
Yeah.
I don't look down on him for doing it.
No,
I mean, the thing is,
all.
Okay, say you created a legacy where you're remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Say you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same difference.
Yeah.
Like once you die, like, yeah. But you won't be remembered. So,
yeah. And,
I don't care. I'm dead.
Yeah. And as much as we joke, you ain't coming back.
Like they're asking me to direct a show that I don't like, and I'm in my 70s. Fuck off.
Exactly.
I get it.
Yeah. I get it too. But hey, part of that is because anybody got any parting words? We're about to leave the segment. I don't want to just dominate completely. Any got anything?
Hey, man, good for him. Yeah. You know what? He made his mark. We're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. No, he did.
Most of us won't get that.
He and look, he is he is a prince. Purple Prince. You know, he is a prince to me. I love Prince and dedicated a whole show to Prince. I'm not going to do it here with him, but, you know, he's right up there. Mm-hmm. With any other legend. So
I don't see you dressed up like him, though.
That's true. Yeah, we are dedicating the whole show. Yeah. That automatically makes him go Prince.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man, because Prince was kicking it to the very end. Yeah. I like that Prince jam he got going right there. Yeah, 77.
That's his purple rain.
That's his purple rain right there. 77 years old, man. A lot of respect to the man right there. Like I've always said, I love him, and it's rare that you get to live in a period where you see somebody create something like the way he did. Mm-hmm. So he gave us a gift for sure. And let's go ahead and talk about something that's not so delightful. Death in a very depressing way, but we'll get through this pretty quick because it's still happening. Don't want to talk about it too much because I don't think there's enough information out there to do so. But we can fairly make some speculations, I believe. And Martin has read about, more than I can guarantee you, the shooting in Minnesota, where it was a black officer with a Muslim-sounding name who shot a white Australian woman who was about to be married, and she died. And everybody's sitting back wondering, like, okay, so how is this going to be handled? And, of course, people are saying that because of all the thing with this that people are really making a connection to. They said, how funny that this also happened in the same place where Philando Castile mm-hmm. was shot and killed, where they got that on camera.
Yep.
And there's no fucking way you can tell me that there is some doubt there. That guy got scared and shot this man after that man told him he didn't have, he had a weapon, but he wasn't pulling out. He's pulling out his ID. He looked scared of that dude.
Yeah.
And got shot. I don't care what you fucking say.
Plus, you can't, like, go around talking about how we had this open carry, yet the minute somebody says they have a gun, they get killed.
Did you notice NPR? I mean, NPR. But NPR was all over. The NRA never came out, said anything about that.
Right.
They all over everything else, but not that. No, not this Negro. He might have been dangerous. Well, he looked scary. So, but now, keep in mind, by no means at all, and I'm only speaking for myself. Maybe Martin feels different. But nobody's saying that this woman should not receive justice if something foul did happen here, all because we want revenge. Or we want tit for tat, eye for an eye. You know, I'm not wanting that at all. I think that this is sad because they are saying that there's some things about the cop that might be shady. Now, I don't know. This might be foul reporting itself. But they're saying that the shooter, Mohammed Noor, and the woman that he shot, Justine Diamond, they say that there were complaints about him in the department. There's also been complaints about other policemen who have shot people, which is why it's so interesting to see how this is going to happen. I already heard, like, maybe you tell me, is it the police chief who's on vacation?
Oh, I don't know that.
They said somebody's on vacation in the department, and while they're on vacation, they're looking to start an investigation. Meanwhile, it took a year for Philando Castile.
This has happened. That they're still like, well, we don't have all the details. The cop's body camera was off for no explained reason.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't know why his camera was off. A lot of protocols seem to be violated here. And if you go to the New York Post, the story they're talking about, that, you know, they say that that he had, I guess he had 2 years in law enforcement, and during that time he had 3 complaints filed about him. One was closed without discipline, and I think he grabbed somebody else. But how you feel about this, Martin?
How do I feel about this?
Yeah.
Free reign. Well, if I may, I've talked about this over and over to the point where I'm just kind of sick of it. And, wow, watching that movie Detroit today, whew. What I feel about this is like, okay, so far it's been the cops shooting black men and everybody going like, well, maybe he was dangerous, maybe he's a criminal, maybe he pulled something. So now we have this where you get to see that the whole issue is—it's not black versus white; it's blue versus everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And see, that's the surprising take that I think a lot of people think that feel that we're going to have for now. There is an issue of race in there because I think a lot of things are being looked at differently because of the circumstances.
My feeling is unless this person was pulling a gun or a weapon or another weapon in close proximity, there's no reason to end that person's life.
No.
None.
No, there was not. Why were the cameras off? Why did she get shot who wasn't armed? What makes me upset about this is that if it goes either way, because there's some people like, well, I want him to get off just like these other cops. And the thing is, let's just say that did happen. And the people looking at it saying, well, it's a tragic thing, but it might bring some attention to how this is getting out of control for everybody. Because we told you, we said, you keep ignoring these black dudes getting shot. Stay tuned. Coming to a channel near you.
Yeah.
And now it's open season on everybody.
How do you feel about this, Gertz?
how you feel? Well, no, I'm sorry.
I think you summed it up perfectly. This shouldn't be a race issue at all. I mean, if anything, it's irresponsible authority is the issue. And because of people's own prejudices, it hasn't been acknowledged until now. And I'm not really familiar with what happened here. This is the first time I've heard about this story, but I don't even want to speculate, and I don't want people getting outraged about something that hasn't happened yet, because people are going to assume this is going to have a different outcome. I'm sure of it, but yeah, it shouldn't be an issue of race at all, and it's a shame that we've allowed it to be twisted into that.
But it is a thing of race, because what will probably happen is where Philando Castile had like a jury full of white people. You know, are they going to do this with her? Are they going to put a jury full? Not that I want this. I'm just saying, let's just make it like we usually see it. What if they put a jury of black people in there for her? Which they won't, you know. And so that's where things become hypocritical, become unfair. And I think that people are going to be speculating things, and they're going to be speculating injustice if they prosecute this man in a way that they don't prosecute other cops because he has a Muslim name and he's black.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because if he's found guilty, they'd be like, well, why are we getting justice when, you know, all these other white cops are shooting us? But if he gets off, people would be like, well, why is he getting off? This isn't right. So, like, no matter what the end result of this is going to be, it's going to be chaos and a lot of people being upset about it.
Justice will not be served either way.
Right.
I mean, let's just say, like, what people want, because they want consistency. If this guy walks, then how is that fair to her and her family?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a horrible, horrible situation, man. And what really gets me is that, like I said, it's probably going to take a white woman to bring attention to this and have people crack down.
Yeah, that's the only thing I thought. I was like, if there's anything, and I'm loath to use the word positive about it, it's like maybe this will be the thing that makes people go like, hey, something needs to be done about this.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it was happening back and forth, and everybody's like, oh, that's a shame. Up until those snipers started taking out cops in Dallas. And then somebody was like, hey, come on, y'all. We got to get together on this.
Yeah.
I say, oh, yeah, now you want to get together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like I said, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But, I mean, we are fair people. Because a lot of people, I know I've had already one person speculate, hey, I bet Coleman can't wait for this cop to get off. I'm like, fuck you, man. You don't know me, and I would never wish that.
No.
I mean, I hate the system, and I don't want anybody coming here and saying anything like, well, you know, it's not about race or anything. I mean, it is, whether you like it or not, but by no means do I want this woman to not receive the justice that she deserves.
No. And yeah, I'm sure we're in that stage now where the next phase is where they do a smear campaign on her. To try to make everybody go like, well, see, she was on drugs or being belligerent. And I'm like, okay, do you really think that the sentence for being belligerent to a cop is death?
I see, that's where I disagree. That's where I think things are different. I don't think there will be a smear campaign. The biggest smear that happened I heard so far is like the cop heard a noise and it came from her direction or something.
Yeah, apparently she was the one who called the cops because she heard something.
Yeah, that's usually how it happens.
I mean, that's the thing. That's happened
I'm not saying usually, but it happens more than it should.
That's happened a lot now where the person who called the cop because they were concerned are the ones that get killed by the cop.
Shit, they had a video where a cop shot two dogs.
Uh-huh.
Innocent dogs that didn't do anything. Yeah. And, I mean, like one dog got shot and the other came around to go see what was going on with his friend and that dog got shot. It's out of control, people. And maybe this is where you take a look at it. I don't hate cops. I know cops. There are cool cops out there. Y'all in the system where it's just you know, it's hard to change things because things are so set in place right now. And like I said, it needs to be, people don't look. No, I'm going to say it because a lot of people say they want government when they want government. You know, when religious people want everybody to be one religion, bring in the government, make everybody believe that. I'm telling you, we need to stop having state run law and have the government come in and overlook all this shit.
It's really militarized. That's one of the biggest problems. And the other issue is a lot of the people who are in police forces or, you know, who are patrolling those certain beats aren't from there. So, like, they have no way to be like, all right, I know, you know, little Johnny from down the street. I know he's not a bad guy. I'm not going to shoot at that kid. Like, COP literally stands for community-oriented policing. And so if you're not going to go out there and help out these people that you're – that are part of your community and you're not socializing with the community, a lot of these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's sad. Very sad. And I hope that – I just hope that this eventually gets worked out with everybody. I mean, it's obvious that some changes are going to have to be made.
Till the next time. See you next week.
Yeah. Stay tuned, true believers. Excelsior. Oh, so sad. You know what? Let's rinse that negativity away, man. Let's look at something positive right here. Something that actually, you know, while we out here killing each other, animals out there, it's gotten so crazy, animals saving each other. Animals saying, you motherfuckers can't get along. We ain't even the same species, and we trying to help each other. Some dog found a little, or saw a little deer drowning, out there drowning, and the dog just took it upon himself, said, oh, no, 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 I cannot let this happen. I must do something.
Uh-oh. Storm is trying to save this baby deer. I think he's trying to save him.
He's going to eat him.
Storm, bring him in! Storm, bring him in! Good boy, Storm, bring him in! Good boy, Storm, bring him in! Storm is saving this baby deer right.
He's like, I'm going to break it. He's like, I'm going to break it. Say, I'm going to break it to Storm. This deer's already dead. Yeah, good job, Storm. He picks up the deer's hand. Thank you!
Good boy, Storm. Good boy, Storm.
Black is like, yeah, give me that motherfucker. Yeah, Storm, hand him over to me. I'll take care of him.
I was going to do it, but at least she's on.
Good boy, Storm.
Cameraman just
walked
out.
Storm.
Good boy.
Leave him, Storm. Storm. Storm, it's okay.
Storm just grabbed the neck.
You forget I'm a wolf.
Yeah.
No.
Sit you behind.
Say that motherfucker for lunch is what I'm doing.
Storm, leave him, okay? No. Good boy, Storm. Good boy. Good boy, Stormy. Good boy, Storm, okay? Good job, boy. Good job, boy. She's okay. She's okay, buddy. Oh, she's so scared.
That dog is that deer is treating that dog like a T-Rex. She's like, if I just stand still, she ain't gonna, Storm ain't gonna see me. Just fucking stand still. Get the fuck off me. Oh, Storm. Storm's a hero.
So can deer not swim?
What the fuck was a deer doing out there in the first place?
I regret this decision.
Was it like cartoons where the deer was just walking on water like, fuck. What's the story with Storm and the deer? You said it happened. Come over here real quick. Yeah, so people can hear you. You said that this happened in your town. Tell us about Storm the hero.
In your
Stormy.
Hometown. Where
in
is this?
My hometown of Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York.
Okay. Yeah, what's going on?
That's Mark Freely's dog.
Damn, you even know.
Do you know Mark Freely?
Not personally, but okay. I know like he's a guy like in our neighborhood. He's like a lawyer or something.
Okay.
Good.
Nice. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's Port Jeff Harbor. We have a influx of deer. There's so many deer. I see just from like end March until December, every single night, every single day, I see at least two or three deer.
So
in
you
my
guys, they're like pigeons for you guys.
Yeah. No, vermin. Seriously, yeah, they're everywhere. Vermin, and my guess is it probably got scared and then ran into the water because like they're dumb.
Swim,
they're dumb. They can't swim. They can't. At least not that I know of. And yeah, that's my guess is that I got scared or spooked and ran just and then got even more panicked once it hit the water and just then started to drown. But then Storm was there.
And Storm.
And then had a dog grab it by the neck.
Yeah, by the neck. Yeah, Storm was at home. He just watched Bambi. He's like, oh, fuck! Bambi, no!
That ain't gonna be me. Yeah. I ain't going out like that.
So, do you know what happened with the deer? Because that deer looks half dead.
It lived.
It lived.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the guy, Mr. Freely, called an animal response, a community like animal response team, and they came in. It was like breathing, and then they just they took care of her, and it lived. Yeah.
Oh, nice. So it did have a happy ending.
Storm's a hero.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Poor Jefferson's a hero.
Vincent.
So does the Storm get visiting hours with the deer now?
I don't know. I hope so.
Are they going to have like a show where they reunite?
I know for a fact that Storm will be infamous forever now. It's a small town.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to be talking about this.
Are you
going to
have like a Storm
forever.
Day?
A statue?
A Storm Festival. I wouldn't be surprised. We have a Dickens Festival. We have a film. We have all kinds of that dumb shit.
Nice.
So
Storm, you're going to be seeing Storm at the bar picking up chicks? Hey, babe, you see you too? See what I say to that deer?
You're a dog.
Don't listen to other people.
Ain't every guy? So that's nice. I'm glad we had the update on Storm.
I think that's so like crazy and like ironic that like the one big story, it's like, oh, that's my town.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to go back to home and Storm's going to be a big hero?
Yeah.
Storm.
This is flag.
I know.
No, you guys think you're joking. No, there will definitely be like a thing for him now. He is now definitely.
Is there
Port
nothing
Jefferson
happening
celebrity.
In Port Jefferson, Long Island?
No.
Jesus. Storm.
It's a small ass Long Island town in a harbor. It's a tourist town. Like it's a great place to live. Like there's good people and there are cool things that happen.
Okay.
But small place.
Well, hey, good for Storm. I'm glad you're gonna get Storm. Then when you go back home, Storm, bro, gonna try to pick you up.
Yeah, he's gonna be like Brian on Family Guy.
Yeah. So hey, you see me say that, dude? You gonna get drunk and wake up with him? Fuck did I do? Oh, well, he's kind of famous, so it's okay.
You won't drown around
him.
Yeah,
I'll
say. I'll see a video of you being pulled out the water.
By her throat. Oh,
she's okay, Storm. No, get out, bitch, get out.
Starts nudging me.
She's laying and not moving.
A Storm gonna run away. I don't know her. But yeah, glad to hear it. Glad that everything worked out for Storm and the little deer there. All right. That's a good story. That brought my day up right there. Storm's a good dog. Now let's see here. Let's go ahead and get into some emails. You want to come back over here, Gertz?
Yeah.
What's that?
My time's done.
I'm good.
Somebody said, you know what? That's a great idea. Maven Cree says, Corey, go as Tommy Wiseau for Halloween. That's easy. Black Wiseau. Like, man, why not?
Don't do that.
Why?
Please, nobody don't. Will recognize you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be saying, are you the black the Snape from...
They're just going to think you some dude with a Jerry curl.
Are you Rick James?
Yeah, don't do that. A Shalimar member.
Yeah. I don't put that on. Are you Whitney Houston? I don't get it. Oh, let's see here. I know Martin Landau died, and we just didn't have time to talk about it. It wouldn't be long anyway. I want to actually talk about
that
Martin.
Was awesome. Yeah,
Martin Landau was
George
amazing.
A. Romero. No, I'm playing.
No, Martin Landau. I love Martin Landau. Martin Landau. Let me see here. Oh,
he was a cartoonist.
I saw a picture of him, handsome as fuck.
Yeah.
When he was drawing a woman that knew him, I forgot the actress's name, but she said all the ladies loved him, and she put up a picture of him when he was crazy good looking. He was at his desk drawing. Yeah, I mean, hey, kind of like me, handsome and cartoonist. Hey, I relate to him. I will always, but he's remembered for a lot of movies. He left a long legacy, and one of the movies he will forever be remembered for is Baps. If you ever remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He tried to take that to the grave with him.
Jesus
Couldn't do
Christ.
It, though. Man, and there's a picture of him.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, all the things I read about him, they never mentioned Space 1999. And that was the thing I knew him from the most when I was a kid.
Really? He was in that?
Yeah.
Space 1999
was his show. It was him and his wife, Barbara Bain.
Man, that show was a little bit before me, but here's a funny thing. There were kids, like when I was in first and second grade, there were kids who were like in fifth grade who had Space 1999 lunchboxes.
You should see those lunchboxes everywhere. And their ship was it was a unique design. It was iconic. And I had some friends who lived across the street who had one. And we used to make movies, you know, Super 8 movies with that. And my Planet of the Apes stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah, here's a picture. I'm right here about to do some space coke. Mounds of it. Yeah, this is I remember this. I never knew what the show was about, but
wasn't he in Look Who's Talking To or one of the baby movies? I remember it's like a baby taking his dentures out in some movie.
I don't remember.
That's not a weird thing to remember. I know.
I don't remember that.
I need to look it up, but yeah, I'm pretty sure.
When you
was.
Find out, let me know.
Yeah.
Man, that show, the reason why I never was into it, because that show just looked boring. Because it didn't have aliens or anything. And it had any monsters.
It had sort of that kind of, not quite a Doctor Who look, but it always looked like it was British.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm going to see if I can find that picture of him when he was, when you said he was a cartoonist. Because people are talking about, they looked at the picture and like, Jesus, who's that guy? Because he was dressed like a hipster almost. Mm-hmm. So some people thought that like, this is a, it's a modern hipster black and white picture. There it is. Right there. A lot of women and some dudes online, they were like, God damn, he was fine. And yeah, crazy good looking guy.
Yeah, gave it up to act.
That
makes sense.
That's definitely more money in it.
Yeah, this is good business.
I even like this picture right here where he just looked up like, what the fuck am I doing?
Sexy as hell.
Yeah. Drawing funny pictures and shit.
I have people taking photos of me while I'm drawing. Yeah. I'm really good looking.
Like, there's just strangers in a room.
Yeah.
He don't even know who took that picture. Just some random chick came in. Yeah. God, you're beautiful. There was a movie that I always knew Martin Landau from when I was a kid, ever since I was a kid. And what was it? North by Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of my favorite movies.
I think it was his first role.
Was that his first role?
Yeah. And then he went from that to Mission Impossible.
North by Northwest. Because was he? Yeah, Mission Impossible. North by Northwest. I loved him in the movie because that movie's so great. And again, he's great in that film. Because there's also, they don't explain anything about him. They just, let me see if I can find a video of it. Because, I can't find it, man. But in North by Northwest, they play a lot of things. They don't play it up. It's actually very subtle. But in North by Northwest, he was the villain sidekick. Mm-hmm. And he was jealous of anybody that came close to that villain. You remember that?
Yeah.
And a lot of people.
Yeah, it was very kind of homoerotic.
Yeah,
Smithers.
Yeah, because you can even look like when the villain's like looking at something, when the villain like looking at something else or looking at the hero, who in the movie was Cary Grant, like Martin Landau's behind him just looking at him.
Yeah,
I love you.
Fuck you for looking at
him. Yeah, don't you look at him? But there's a part in the movie where they even say like they never say he's gay, but he act like he's gay for the villain. Who is villain?
James Mason.
Yeah, James Mason. And he's so jealous of Cary Grant, and he's like, "Why are you acting so strange?" And Martin Landau looks at him. He's like, "I don't know. Maybe it's my woman's intuition, but something tells me that guy's not on the up and up." And it was years later. The scriptwriter came to UT. And Tim and I went to go see, and Tim actually remembered that. And he's like, "Were you really trying to fuck with people about this guy being gay?" And the director was like, "I don't know why I wrote that." I'm like, sure, okay,
yeah,
whatever you say. Yeah, somebody in the chat, they're talking about Smithers. But Martin Landau was amazing, man. Everybody remembers him. If nothing else, they remember him in Ed Wood.
Did you ever see that episode of Twilight Zone where he was a KGB agent that was defecting?
No. I don't remember it.
It's very much a bottle episode where it's all him in a motel room and the phone keeps ringing. And they've rigged his phone to blow up if he answers it. And they just try to get him to answer the phone.
Oh, really? That's I love those Twilight Zone episodes when they weren't even science fiction. Uh-huh. They were like these action movies, thrillers. Because I saw one where they're going to hang a cowboy. And the whole town was like rooting against him, and they had to find him innocent until the last minute. And something happened where they were going to hang him, but the rope broke.
Oh.
And it was a cheap thing. It's the only thing that made it weird with Rod Sterling. Fate enters once again. It's like, man, get the fuck out of here. Bullshit. The lame ass ending, and you know it. But everybody remembers him as Bela Lugosi, man. I'll play this last clip to kind of bid him a farewell.
I know he beat Samuel Jackson, but he earned this Oscar.
Man, he did. He did, man.
Samuel.
Fuck. And they asked Samuel Jackson, they're like, "Do you know that you won't come?" He's like, "Yeah, I don't give a fuck, and I hope they burn in hell." But it was, he was 89, man. The woman who put that picture up of him being the handsome cartoonist, she said, "Man, this dude lived a life.
Yeah.
He lived a great life, so don't you worry about him." But as Bela Lugosi, the way everybody, you know, when they would catch Bela Lugosi, fuck you, he is not worth eating my shit, or whatever he said.
That limey cocksucker.
He was talking about Lon Chaney, Boris Karloff. Karloff. But, yeah, I got the scene where
you got it.
I got the scene where he's cussing that dude out, man.
Mr. Lugosi, I know you're very busy, but can I have your autograph?
Certainly.
You know which movie of yours I love, Mr. Lugosi? The Invisible Ray. You were great as Karloff's sidekick.
The fuck? Man, that's why he deserved it, just for that. Yeah, like, shit.
Karloff? Sidekick? Fuck you! Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit. That limey cocksucker can rot in hell for all I care.
What happened?
How dare that asshole bring up Karloff? You think it takes talent to play Frankenstein? It's all makeup and then grunting.
Bella, I agree 100%. Now, Dracula, that's a role that requires talent.
Of course. Dracula requires presence. It's all in the eye.
Like, yeah, I'll just get the fuck on out of here.
Horns and the hand.
That's right. That's right. You seem a little agitated. You want to go outside and get some air?
Bullshit. I'm ready now. Roll the camera.
Man. Bullshit. That guy was amazing. I remember looking at that and seeing, man, that you forgot it was Martin Landau. He got lost in that role. It was, that's why he deserved it. They put tons of makeup, and he transcended the makeup.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah, it's an amazing performance. I don't care how pissed off Samuel Jackson gets. You didn't wear makeup.
Or Jake.
Yeah. Jackson, fuck you! Oh, let's see here. Yeah, no disrespect, man. Martin Landau, he was amazing. I mean, the whole thing we talked about with Romero was like, well, you know, how come? Because everybody was talking about Martin Landau everywhere. He kind of Martin Landau overshadowed George Romero.
Man, were you there at Frankie Winnie when he fell off the stage?
What, Martin Landau fell off the stage?
Yeah, at Alamo Drafthouse.
Oh, I heard.
Oh, Frankenweenie.
Yeah.
No, I think you told me about it.
Yeah.
Maybe, man. I got in late.
Yeah, everybody was scared. Yeah, he was having trouble getting up on it. I guess going up the riser to get up there. And it was that point where he started to stumble and then just couldn't quite and start going back like a tree.
Oh, no.
And there's like some people who saw it but were too slow to react because they thought he could make it. That kind of thing where, like, well, I don't want to stop. And I mean, he fell hard. And you could just hear because it was being live on one stage with simulcast on different theaters. You can hear everybody in every theater go, oh! World
star! Wow. Man, that's... I'm sorry to hear that, man. Did he play it off well?
Yeah, he recovered. He did okay, but it was that kind of thing where all through the movie you just kept thinking, man, I hope he's all right.
Fuck you!
Did he yell that? Why didn't you help me? You knew that stuff was there. Yeah, Justin, man, you want to talk to Justin Zarian?
Oh, yeah.
Jay-Z.
We haven't heard
from
him.
He's coming to town.
Your new album's dope.
If he got a place to stay. I mean, he's been looking for a place to stay.
Is he coming? What's he coming to town for?
The anniversary party.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he was.
Just cause.
I thought you meant like next week or something. Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
Forgot that was happening. Oh, listen. The chat is putting up pictures of this cat fall.
That's
Martin Landau. Look at that cat. Fuck you. No. I was like, Sammy, no.
Were you guys in the theater tonight when that big woman fell down the stairs walking in? Oh,
no.
Yeah. It was a large woman, and she was forced to relinquish her seat because she tried sitting in the press section, and she was like putting up a big fuss about it being forced to move, and sure enough, like, she got to the bottom stair and just fell over and started screaming about how there's like a cliff. Cliff down here, and no one felt sorry for her because she was just putting up such a stink beforehand about having to move.
It's like, I wish you guys were there for it.
Well, plus that's what I was saying. It's like, oh, you mean that cliff that nobody else fell off?
Yeah. Yeah. Like someone just like straight up yelled, calm down. Yeah.
No, I like I got that.
A lot of people were just like, what's going on? Yeah. And I said, word. Like, I was just like,
yeah, your big ass hit the ground like it was a cliff.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, funny, she's on the ground like,
seriously, like high came in and consoled her and like calmed her down and was like super. You know, he was super like kind to her and everything, like way more than
stroked
he should have been.
Stroked
her
hair.
Like, okay, yeah. we'll get you to your seat.
I'm
like,
sure it's like I don't need to get sued by any of these people.
Yeah,
high is nice to them. Kirk, like, get your ass up and sit your ass down.
She honestly,
get up. You're not hurt. Start kicking her. Get up.
She honestly kind of deserved it. She was being shitty.
Yeah. I can already tell, man.
Yeah. It's like,
even before you said anything, I was like, man, she had it coming.
Yeah. If she just tripped out of nowhere, people would be like, oh, shit, are you okay? But no, it's like, no, you were being a royal pain in the ass to everyone in the theater beforehand.
I like the way she's on the ground. Oh! Yeah. Oh! And everybody just looking at her.
Like a turtle on its
back. Oh, God.
She was being heckled. DT merch. They wanted you to bring
it up. We got new shirts. Oh, yeah. I will do that. Let me talk to Justin real quick right here. Justin says, hey, guys, so Ed Sheeran deleted his Twitter account because people dogpiled on his cameo in Game of Thrones this weekend. I personally didn't think it was all that bad myself, but what were your thoughts on his cameo, and what do you feel is necessary to making a cameo feel organic, no matter who it is? And I was not, look, it didn't ruin it for me. Let me ask you this, for like the chat is talking about triggered. let me ask y'all. So did everybody see Game of Thrones?
Yes.
What'd you think about the episode?
It's all right. It needed more Daenerys. But yeah, when Ed Sheeran showed up, everybody I was with booed. The second he came up, it was like, boo, why are you here? You're ruining this for us.
Let's go. Well, since you brought it up, I'm going to ask you about the episode, the rest of you guys. But let's look at the part. Well, no, let me, before I get to it, what did you think about the episode?
I thought it was fine. It's like a lot of their episodes from the first episode where they got to remind you of everything because there's so many plot lines going on.
Oh, yeah, they had that montage.
I didn't remember that the Hound was still alive. I was going, is this a flashback?
I didn't either. I forgot about that.
How could y'all forget that? The last episode of last season was him just killing people.
No, when he got revenge. And, now I remember. But for some reason, I remembered what's her name killing him?
Oh, the girl, Arya?
Arya killing him.
Oh, Brienne.
Brienne.
That was back in season 4.
See, I thought she had killed him. Like, she knocked his ass down a cliff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but he survived and Arya left him. But he survived that and went to go live with those villagers.
But I remember he did those.
Oh, is that what?
He left those villagers.
He died at that point.
No, because he did some dirt after that. He did them so bad that he had to redeem himself. Like, he left them to starve and freeze to death.
Right. Yeah, because he comes back and sees their corpses there. Yeah.
He took a season off. Like he's not in season 5 at all. And then in season 6, which was last season, he's brought back as kind of a twist. Like, oh shit, it's him.
What'd you think about the episode?
I thought it was all right. I agree. It's a lot of setup, but I thought it was done pretty well. I don't know or didn't know who Ed Sheeran was, so this scene didn't bother me at all.
I will say this. For the most part, it wouldn't have bothered me. Because I'm like, okay, Ed Sheeran. But I don't like the idea of celebrity cameos and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because seeing somebody you recognize like that can kind of takes you out of it.
Yes.
But, hey, you have different actors in. But the fact that he sung a song, too, that was what
that, put it that over is the why top. They had him there.
And then remained on screen just to sit there. And we're looking at him while Buddy's talking. And we're like, I see Ed Sheeran just sitting on the side. It's distracting.
Yeah, he really is.
I mean, granted, he looks like a hobbit, but.
All the winds and the steps and the car, he rode to a woman's side. For she was a secret treasure, she was his shame and his bliss. And a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Sheeran. You know, the fact that they just cut so you could see that is him, I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. It didn't ruin anything for me, but at the same time, Game of Thrones, if they're going to start doing this, it's time to go.
Well, no, yeah, they've been doing this, but they've done it better. At the Red Wedding, they had the National playing the Reigns of Castamere. Yeah, the Reigns of Castamere. And you're like, oh, wow, like they actually put a famous rock band in here, and they had them. They did it well because it didn't draw attention to itself.
Yeah, it sure
but
did.
This one drew attention to
it
itself.
It really did. It's like, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the way they just put it on there, it was like, okay, they're pretty much telling me he knows somebody that really likes him, our friend on the show.
It's like he just asked to be there.
Yeah, and they just brought him in.
Got connections. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It just it is distracting, you know, to know that this is somebody who's really – he deserves it. I hear he's a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So nice that Jamie Foxx didn't even know he was at a party of his. I think he slept – I don't know if this is true.
No, Jamie Foxx had him live at his house.
That's what – yeah. He said he
had
slept
him live
at his
house and just use his studio whenever he wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody loves Ed Sheeran, man. And he's pretty nice.
I heard he's a wuss because he deleted his Twitter account.
I got to get out of here. But, nothing against his success, but he really is a thing right now, and it kind of dates the show too. Yeah, when they put it in there, I didn't like it, and they don't need to do that again. So
yeah, hopefully this will teach them not to do that again. Yeah.
I got a feeling they've already filmed a lot of shows. This might happen again.
They can go and edit.
Yeah. Usher's gonna show up in an episode.
Yeah,
just bring him back to get torched by a dragon.
Yeah, so I didn't feel too crazy about it. But I did like the episode. I thought it opened up great. I mean, after they got through the catch-up montage, which you needed.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about that. Ooh.
But your girl,
Usasa?
No.
I'm trying to talk here.
Other little shoddy doo-wop.
Oh, Leanna Mormont?
Yeah, that chick.
Oh, yeah.
Badass.
Oh, yeah. No, she's a boss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was telling everybody what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's always been like that.
Like, when Dick has a little girl I won't fight, I'll cut your throat out. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean you.
Oh, yeah. Like that time when everybody was talking about they weren't going to support Jon Snow, and she got up and just said, you a bitch. You a bitch. And yes, you a bitch, too. And everybody was like, well, shit, they don't call me no bitch. All right, Jon Snow, everybody. Oh,
Gertz cracked me up with his Facebook status about, what was it, Twitter, where you said the chamber pot scene.
Had more musical nuance than Baby Driver.
There was more musical brilliance in that chamber pot sequence than there was in the entirety of Baby Driver. Because when that shit was going, I was like, yeah. And then I saw it, I was like, this is better than Baby Driver.
Nah, fuck you. Oh, let's see. And last thing right here, my man Bryce. Let me see. Bryce Miles.
B. Rice.
Yeah. I want to say thank you for the heads up, but I probably won't be buying no Peanuts Vans anytime soon.
I'm sorry.
Oh, dude,
are you only too $70 good for bucks? That?
Those yellow ones? Come on. You need those.
Yeah.
You know what?
Those are actually pretty decent looking.
The Charlie Brown shirt.
Yeah.
They look kind of cool, actually.
That actually is kind of cool. If I can find a shirt to go with it, I'll do it. I'm scared Conor McGregor is going to come out and talk about my ass if I do that thing. Did you see the when Conor McGregor was talking shit to Mayweather?
I'm like, I can't be the only one just like, what?
No, y'all saw that, didn't you?
Wait, but they had four press conferences.
It was one where he came in and he was talking shit. He's like, look at him, a 40-year-old man with a book bag. He can't even fucking read.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, look at me. Do I look great? Because he's wearing a suit. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, look at him. He's a 40-year-old dressed like he's 14. And yeah, I was like, God damn. He's making me feel bad on what I have on right now.
No. That's the thing about McGregor. I'd rather take the ass whooping than have him trash talk me.
Yeah, so would I. Like, I don't even know if I wanted Mayweather to win, but now I kind of do. Just because of all that. Because he took a big ass whooping with that trash talking. Because Conor McGregor, say what you will, but he was always one step ahead of him. Because he was when Mayweather came in, he's like, yeah, I'm 40, but I look 20. And you think like you're 10. He look at the audience. I was like, wow. I like the way somebody came in and said, both y'all 10 years old. Shut the fuck up.
Conor McGregor's a good trash talker, man.
He
said some fucked up stuff. Like, they were talking about, I think it was a Jimmy Kimmel. He said something about Rocky III. He's like, oh, yeah, that was the movie with all those monkeys dancing on screen. And you're like,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we looked
at that gym scene where all the black dudes are in there training and dancing.
Oh,
yeah. Like, yeah. And I didn't even know he said that.
Yeah.
Because, see, I thought maybe it was just an Irish thing when he told Mayweather, dance for me, boy. And right. I was like, I thought that was like, hey, me boyo or something. But then I was like, okay, now you sound like you really want your ass whooped.
He's saying some wild, some reckless shit.
Yeah. He has a history of saying shit like that.
Oh, speaking of saying shit like that. Man, you didn't even play the best of the Shia LaBeouf clips.
Oh, what happened?
There was just stuff when he, like, you played all the stuff when he was getting arrested in the car.
His booking?
But when he got to the jailhouse, that's when he really got racist.
That's when he let go?
Yeah. Once you start saying some shit, you're like, all right, I don't know if I'm going to give you a pass on this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I knew there was more, but I didn't see it until later. But I'll go look at it.
Sorry, guys, I was blackout. What do you mean blackout? What the fuck you saying here?
I hope that motherfucker gets his ass whooped now, Conor McGregor. I really do.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Shia LaBeouf. I was like, I wanted that for years.
Why not?
Both by Mayweather.
Have the two of them fight each other.
Hey, my money is on LaBeouf. I think he'd win.
It's hard to beat crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
Yeah, just get him drunk first.
Shit. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, Shia would just have an arm in his mouth. I like, hey, what do you think about these Vans right here at the bottom? We're looking at
still
some
looking at shoes.
I know, I'm looking at shoes now. Shopping. I'm actually ordering something. I do like those Vans with the yellow on them,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it really does. Nice. Good. Yeah.
I actually might get these, man. If I can get a shirt to go with it. So
and it says you more know? Colors. Like, yeah. What other colors would you want for this?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Look at those fucking shoes.
Yeah.
You monkey. That's for me, monkey. Just like a 14-year-old.
All right, we're out of here. Had a lot of fun. So don't let me forget to talk about the merch that we have. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Well, I'll just ask this real quick. This is very simple. Hello, crew. Two questions here. Since the whole gaming fan portion of the crew is here, including both Corey's, I was wondering what you guys thought of Telltale's The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, now that it has completed its season. Second, just for Coleman, since he's stuck with it, what do you think of the second season of The Walking Dead?
The second half.
The second half of second season. They've had their moments, but as much as I wanted Negan to work, he's kind of ruining it for me, man.
Yeah. Really?
Huh?
Really?
Yeah.
Still.
Well, what do we have here? He's just leaning more and more. So, yeah. Rick, I tried to help you. Rick, fuck.
He just parallels to the ground.
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Smooth criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we have here?
Next season he'll just be played by a tree.
Yeah. Looks like I got a calcium deficiency, huh? What do you say, boys? Who's going to prop me up? But, yeah, man, it's just getting... the actor's name. What is it?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I really like that guy. Somebody needs to pull him back, though, because I wouldn't mind a lot of things, but his body language is just distracting. And, this, I mean, the show is just getting... I thought some things would get better, but some things are getting kind of silly right now. And I still need to improve. I know it's a show, and they got to do things quickly, but... Those teleporting and soft and hard zombies and that. I mean, it's really beginning to wear on me. So I don't know. I mean, I'm lasting with it. I'll try to see where it goes, but I don't know. I mean, some shows I lose interest with. There's been a couple I have. This we'll wait and see.
They
this
can't
might be
stick
one
to
of
their rules, man. Like you have one episode where a zombie is ripping out, like ripping open a horse, and then the next episode they can't pull somebody through a wall. It's
yeah,
like, come on, pick one.
Exactly. I will say about Negan though. When they need to create tension with him, they do. I mean, you might not like his mannerisms all the time, but he is a character that could take anybody out at any time.
Yeah.
And that kind of keeps you interested. I mean, he sliced one dude up, and I didn't see that coming at all. There's always a fuck moment with Negan. So, and it makes you nervous because the nicer he is, the more nervous you get for people around him. Mm-hmm. So it works to a certain extent, and that kept me in. I mean, it's not terrible for me. What'd you think? I haven't played The Walking Dead since the first episode, which I loved. That was my game of the year, 2012, when it came out.
Yeah, season one was great, and season two of The Walking Dead, the Telltale games are great. This one, it's a little weird because you're not playing... one of the big things, like, yo, Clementine's back. She's a badass, but you're not Clementine.
Oh.
So you're playing it's some Hispanic dude. I forgot his name.
Okay.
So the thing is with, like, Lee.
What season is this?
This is three.
Okay.
Yeah, they just call it Walking Dead New Frontier. It's not even a season anymore.
Lee's back?
No. I'm just saying playing, and when you were playing with Lee, you felt like it was a character that was developed, even though you learn about him being in the back of a cop car, and then you get emotionally attached to him. But in this one, you're playing this guy that I haven't played the final part of this season, but I'm not emotionally attached to him at all. Like, when people are dying around me, I don't care about any of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to care about them because he cares about them, but you haven't endeared the main character to me.
Gotcha.
So I wish they would have given you the option to just play Clementine instead of this guy. But the action is better than the first two seasons. Like, there's a bunch of scenes where you're going through this newfound town of the new frontier people. So, like, yeah, you have a whole bunch of things that happen in here that are interesting, but I don't think it's as good as the season one or two.
Yeah.
You just reminded me. I still haven't finished season two, and I need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. One thing I can tell you guys is that we came in and we did a test run, a semi-test run of the Twitch thing that we're trying to do, the Twitch show, and that worked out better than I thought it would.
What'd you do?
I don't want to say just yet because I don't want people to have expectations, but I am doing something completely different that we haven't done before while also trying to bring in games.
Okay.
It's a mixture of games and something else that could be a lot of fun. And we did a run-through. It actually was pretty funny. So me and Valerie the Lesbian. The lesbian, as I call her. So it should be fun. We're going to try to get that up probably right before the anniversary party or very soon afterwards. The merchandise.
Merch.
Okay. Go to DT Merch, right?
DT Merch. Yeah, shit. It's great.
DTMerch.com.
Yep.
Oh, Martin, you're going to like this. We got some new.
You got my shirts?
Yeah, man. Well, at least a portion of you on the shirts. We got the Paisley pocket. Why?
Just he couldn't, like, personally, he felt that was not a good decision.
Okay. Martin's offended.
Martin's
like, huh?
Who the fuck?
Because I can't, in good conscience, make a whole position.
So is he going to do his job or what?
That is his job.
I called him a chump. Okay.
But hey, Martin, at least we got a little bit of perch. Paisley and merch in there.
The
perch
squad shirt is lit. Everyone loves it.
Oh, do they? Oh, we got the mistress squad skirt. Oh, there's that Negan picture. Thank you, Skull. But we got new merch on, what is it, dtmerch.com. So we got some shirts that have been sort of scaled back, some plain shirts. I love this shirt
right
here. The white logo and black t-shirt.
Blight.
We have the jerseys here. This is nice. Very nice. I like that we've kind of taken a minimalist approach to this. We got new backpacks. That's nice, man. It's very nice. So go to dtmerch.com. Check out all the new stuff that we have. And we even have the shirt for the anniversary party coming up.
Now you know you want one of those.
Yeah, I think we're going to be selling these at the show. We're going to have a merch table set up. Yeah, we'll get on it. So there you go, people. And there's still some other shirts that you can buy that are out there.
Half-price book shirt.
Is that still stuff? Really? Okay. Very nice.
Wait, let me see it.
It says something else on it, too.
And oil changes?
Yeah, half-price books and oil changes.
That's from Danielle. Yeah, we'll figure out some of these shirts to buy and sell them at the party.
Badass.
Including some of our new shirts. So go to dtmerch.com. And while you're online buying DT stuff, go ahead and get your ticket right now. Get your ticket right now for, let me see if I can find it over here. Where is it? The third year anniversary celebration weekend, August 4th through the 6th. Picture Negan. August 4th through the 6th. The wee hours of the 6th, 2 a.m. We're going to be having our party. If you go to partydt.com, it'll take you to the Eventbrite page where we have all of the details listed for what's going to be happening. We should put some of these in bold, man, like the dates or the days to separate them. But you can see them. You can separate them yourself, too. And you'll see that we have the parties, the meet and greets, the lunches, the brunches, what days those happen. We got Goodwin's video game tournament
at 2. I don't know why it says 1.
I thought it because I said 1. I thought it was 1. We'll change it. People are just going to get there early, so you don't have to wait.
You're going to be mad as hell when we ain't there for an hour.
Yours at 2 as well? 2 to 4. So people
on the same day?
No, Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. So you got a lot of things to do for the whole weekend, including getting fed on Sunday with that free taco bar. It's going to be a lot of fun. So please get your ticket. It's getting kind of crowded. Get it now. $25 for the weekend. Shouldn't be that bad. Go over to DoubleToasted.com. While you're buying all things Double Toasted, buy a stream or buy a subscription. Because when you watch a live stream, well, you know how it is. You get another level of immersion with us. You get to come in here and talk to us, give us emails, Skypes if you want to show your face, all kind of fun stuff. And if you miss a show, go to the vault and you'll get all of the audio and video that you miss. 7 days for free is what you can try it for. If you don't like it, keep the audio. For all I know, yes, SoundCloud is still around. Ain't going nowhere.
Chance is saving it.
Yeah, Chance saved it. Mm. Saved the day. Chance the hero. He came in and, people are talking about, we said this on yesterday or the day before. People are talking about how, if SoundCloud go away, Double Toast is going to die. It's like, look, we'll take a hit and a small hit at the moment. It is not threatening at all.
And we're on iTunes.
Yeah, we're on iTunes too. I can't even say anything. But SoundCloud contacted me today, so
please don't go.
We
need money. Yeah. I'll suck your dick.
Now it was something where I can't say what it is, and it's nothing bad, but it seems like they assure everything is fine. So yes, go to SoundCloud, and we're on iTunes also. I will tell you this. I don't know if I have to, but at some point, if I enter a new agreement with, I can't say this. I'm trying to say, am I under NDA? No, I can say it. If the new agreement with them requires, I might have to pull it off of iTunes. But that is not for certain yet. So I'll look and see. We're entering a new agreement with them, so we'll see. But hey, you'll still have SoundCloud for the moment. And check out the Midnight Chat Attack, now with more Negan. And you can you can check them out every Saturday from 7:30 p.m. to midnight Central Standard Time. Check them out in the chat or check them out on their YouTube live stream. Now on YouTube. And that is it. I don't think I have anything else. Mr. Gertz.
Thank you.
No, thank you, sir. Thank you. Good win.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank Afro Man for being up in here. How you doing? He's over there working his hair right now. Man, I love your hair. Seriously. I want to grow an afro so bad. Are you in dodgeball or something? And Juliana, thank you for coming in. Tell us about your hometown hero, Snowy or whatever. What's his name? Stormy. And thank you, Mr. Gonzalez, as always. And thank you all out there for always supporting us. And let me see here. You give us so much support, we'd like to help you out and show you a good time. So please check us out sometimes. And Martin Thomas. Thank you, sir.
Don't even need it.
Can't forget, last but certainly not least, I'll tell you, like a TV show, they introduce everybody and starring
as
Thomas, as the Beaver. And featuring, yes.
Martin Thomas is Boo Bear.
See, you ain't jumping on him, man.
It's funny when he says
that. Oh, don't be like that. That hurts my
Plus
feelings.
Plus, he didn't fuck it up.
Yeah, that is true. You got me on that one. So let me go on out of here before Coleman fucks up again. kcoolmans at gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz at gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you would like to be a part of the show, too late. We're done. But come on back for another show by putting in an email your phone number, your Skype contact, anything else you think you might need, press and send, bam, up in your home talking to the only host in the world, do the house calls on Instagram at Double Toasted fan page, on the Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Want some proper time with me? Corey.Coleman.5. I'm busy. Goodwin.
Facebook, Corey.Goodwin.5. You can find me on Twitter or Twitch.tv, _DT, all one word, or on Instagram, DB Cooper KG, Mr. Gertz.
Yes, sir. You can find me on Facebook, Patrick Gertz, Twitter, Patrick Gertz at P Gertz, and on Instagram at P Gertz, Mr. Thomas.
I got you on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoPro. Look for Martin Thomas on Facebook, and while you're there, check out the group, the Children of the Toast.
Boop. And check us all out here in the world famous Double Toasted Studios. See how excited Juliana is? Yeah, get the fuck out of here. And you can do so by emailing us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let us know if you're going to be visiting Austin. Let us know if you're going to be moving to Austin because it's so cool. Or you already live in Austin. Let us know. See the show, kcoolmans@gmail.com. Had a great time with y'all tonight. Got to go. Good night. Good morning, afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to and watching this, goodbye and stay toasty. Toasty.
Fuck you.
God damn, how much music do we have left?
There's a lot. We went through it really quick.
Yeah.